Hello, the special program with Rachel Cam coming up as soon as I figure out how to dial the thing. Rachel. Cam. I don't care how much people fucking walked on their goddamn Facebook. Walked 3.5 miles and burned 285 calories. You gotta be kidding me. Who cares? Oh, wait,
is this the person you're trying to...
Oh, that's her Skype. Fuck. So, which one is it? That one? Eh. Girdle. Yeah, these fucking runners automatically tweeting how much they ran. Who cares? I'm going to tweet how much I fucking ate.
Hello?
What's with these fucking tweeters, these people that automatically tweet how long they ran and how many calories they burned? Have you seen this?
Are we recording right now?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I'm still like, I got to find Twitter.
What?
I don't understand it a lot.
What's not to understand? You tweet.
What?
I don't understand what's to understand. You tweet. It's simple.
No, I know. Like how they say at so-and-so, and you know me with this technology. I'm just catching on to the at so-and-so thing.
But Rachel, you've had some time to learn it since the last time we talked about this.
I know. But yeah, these people are putting their calories and stuff. Wait, do you know about the iPhone app? I was listening to Sarah Silverman on the Howard Stern show.
Yeah.
And he was asking her how she lost so much weight, and she said, oh, it's my new app, Lose It. Do you know about that?
No.
It's a free app. And you put in, like, every food you eat, and it counts up the calories, so you know when you have to stop eating, I guess.
That's fine.
Oh, I used it for, like, 5 fucking days, but then I kept having to stop eating by, like, 10 a.m. According to them, how many calories I consumed, so I just stopped. So now I'm still fat and Sarah Silverman's still famous. Thank you. Good night.
I'm eating carrots.
That's good. That's healthy. Okay, stink hair and bloody feet.
I have the worst stink hair, and it made me think of... I was talking to you earlier, and I said, I have such horrible stinker. My hair smells. I need to wash it. And then I realized I don't have shampoo because I can't afford it.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, the last time I washed my hair at the gym. But today I couldn't go to the gym because, I've been dog sitting and I had to give the dog back. I usually go to yoga on Monday and I'm going through withdrawal, which is why I called you in the first place, because I'm having serious withdrawal. And even though I'll go to yoga 9 in the morning, it's still bad. But so,
how long has it been since you've been?
Yesterday I went.
Oh, Jesus.
I know.
But it's good you found something that works.
I mean, I don't go every day. I go like 4 or 5 days a week, but I need it.
You're suffering withdrawals after one
day.
My
routine has to be, I have routines, they change every few months, but they have to be the way they are. Because I'm some sort of disorder. But so, okay. So my hair smells. I stink hair. And the last time I washed it at home, sometime last week, I had to use Ivory soap.
Like Ivory bar? Or
yes.
Soap or what?
The Ivory bar.
That's pretty ghetto.
And I was remembering I did that as a kid and my mother yelled at me.
Don't wash your hair with the Ivory soap.
Because I had a friend, Danny, who did it. And his mother made us wash our hair with soap. And she was from Hungary and was like a Holocaust survivor or something. So I thought that would be cool. And my mother saw me do it. She was like, you can't do that. Actually, I think her exact words were, "Oi, Madge.
Oi, you can't do that."
The other things, dirty sheets. Oh, this is horrible, Rachel. So,
I ran out of shampoo and soap today, too, actually. Both bottles were empty.
Yeah, you have to go to a hotel and steal some, right?
No, what I did was I bought a bottle of shampoo that I decided I will use also as soap. Thank you.
So the sheets, so you know I do have this job where I edit pornography, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know about this, right? We've talked about it.
That you work in porn?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So I was editing this shoot that we have this guy, and it was He was being a videographer the first time, so I had to critique it in addition to edit it. And in the middle of the scene, I mean, not too far into it, I realized that, oh, it was so fucking disgusting. Okay, so the top was black. The bottom was white. And
when
the top pulled out, and then the bottom touched his dick. He touched the black guy's dick. It was a condom, so he touched the dick with the condom. And then he put his hand up to his face, and it was as bloody as a paper cut. And at first I thought, oh, it was a paper cut. And then I thought, oh, my God, he's bleeding. And then I looked, and it was on the sheets in the scene.
Right.
And I thought, why didn't they fucking stop? So I made notes. You want to let me read you the notes?
Okay.
Make sure talent never covers the shot with their arm. Hand is steady. Just hold the shots. Reaction shots would be nice. Make sure you get enough footage of the shot before you switch to the close-up or vice versa. And then it's star, 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 shitty kitty, all caps, star, 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 star. How to avoid this question mark? I have no idea, but it would be good to find out. And then all caps, blood too? Ugh. Try to keep the bloody sheets out of the frame at least.
Hey, I'm recording a radio show.
Lols.
Hi, sweet. You're recording your radio show?
Yes, she's recording a radio show. Did you hear the last line?
I know, it's my first night, you guys. Mwah. Mazel tov.
Kenahora.
Am I
going to
see you tomorrow? Okay, see you Wednesday.
Kenahora.
Ruby wanted to hear it again.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Sorry, come on. My friends, they don't know. No one can tell. You know, in L.A., people assume you're on the phone, but here everyone wants to talk to me when I'm on the phone.
They probably think you're texting or pretending not to, because people here use phones to avoid people.
Well, exactly, but I'm saying it doesn't work in New York. They don't care.
Oh, okay. Listen.
You see my point?
Did you hear the last sentence? Try to keep all caps. Huh?
Star, 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 star.
Shitty kitty. Star, 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 star,
shitty
star.
Shitty kitty. Yeah.
How to avoid this? I have no idea, but it would be good to find out. All caps. Blood too? Ugh. Still all caps. Still all caps. Try to keep the bloody sheets out of the frame at least. Lols. You have to put a lols.
But you know what? You have to. It's like you got to put a little honey with the vinegar. I understand.
Yeah, I mean, it was good shooting, but it's not his fault.
Maybe people like that. I don't know.
It's not safe. It's dangerous. What if the guy just started? I mean, I was picturing one of those Monty Python skits, or like, remember Dan Aykroyd when he played Julia Child, and he cut his finger off and the blood squirts out? I'm just thinking, you know, if you keep doing this, you never know what's going to happen. You could hit some artery and it just starts squirting out like a goddamn fountain. So I'm picturing this Monty Python skit. It would actually be funny. Anyway, what's new with you? You're in New York performing what?
I'm doing a show, which is not really a show. It's a multimedia performance art adventure.
It's a show.
Called Flight 18.
Okay.
I know. Called Flight 18.
Uh-huh.
And, which, you know, 18 is chai, which is life, right? Mazel tov. No, I'm serious. I'm not kidding.
I know, but it's fucked up because it's so New York.
It's like my total New York friend. He's like the ultimate. Like, we used to do crazy performance art back in the day here, and now we're like reunited in our 30s doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a rocket ship that goes into space.
What do you mean?
The show is we get on a rocket ship and we go to space.
What for?
In the flight of life, Flight 18 for chai. And we dance and play some disco music, and I'm the high priestess.
Ooh. Like a druid?
Like I'm high, and I'm a priestess.
Like a druid? Like a druid goddess? Like that?
Well, it's more like the tarot, but yeah.
Cool. I like that. I like the goddessy things.
Do you really?
Well, yeah, because I'm a lesbian. Of course I do.
I know. We all love... I know. Yeah.
A male personification of God is so incredibly wrong. And, and it just makes the whole thing about nature being evil. Did you see that movie, the Lars von Trier movie? It was like a horror movie. It was fucking insane. What the hell was it? Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
Is it recent?
Yeah. Nate is like,
The last movie I saw was Avatar.
They say
I did not like.
They say, nature is Satan's temple. And it's all about this woman who goes crazy and kills people. It's very interesting. It's called misogynistic, but I don't find it that way at all. I don't think you would. I think people don't really get it. Anyway.
I know what you mean. I probably wouldn't, because I know what you mean people too. That's so sexist.
Antichrist.
I'm like,
sexist. Yeah. Antichrist.
That's the movie?
Yeah. Hmm. Great. Go see it. We can talk about it. So you're on a spaceship for some reason. Why are you on a spaceship and what year is it?
It's the year 2010. It's the date of the show. It's not in the future. It's right now. It's happening every night, the night that it happens.
Okay, so you're really, for all practical purposes, you're really on this thing, right?
Right. For all intents and purposes, we're really on this ship. So what it is that my friend Eric Wallace, who's this very talented performance art creator, got a grant and a space from the Lower Manhattan Cultural Center, and it's like down on South Street Seaport. We're like across the street from the Bodies exhibit called Liz Claiborne Store, which closed down. So we have this huge two-story building, and, you know, to create with. So he's creating a rocket ship. So it's like you go in and you go into the, you know, check-in, you get a boarding pass. So basically the audience is the passengers and we're the crew.
And who are you staying with?
I'm staying with Eric and his lovely wife and children for another week.
Are you annoying?
And then I'm staying with... No, I mean, you would not believe how grateful they are to have me there. It's so weird.
Why are they fighting?
No, no, no. They're a lovely couple.
Are you having three-ways?
No! Oh, no.
They're
please.
Gross. Is he, like, red-haired, gross Jewish?
No, he's a lovely Jew. They have a lovely marriage. I'm not trying to get in on the...
But is he a ginger Jew or is he a cute? There's
so
you know
he
has, how there's
he's like my coloring.
Okay, that's a good Jew.
Your coloring.
No,
yeah, we're good Jew.
We're the dark kind.
Darkies. He's exactly our coloring, like a little bit olive skin, black hair.
I want to see if Reagan's around too, just in case, and then we can have a three-way. You want to?
Okay. Yeah. Finally, I'll get my three-way. Of course.
I also want
to. But I have to tell you more weird shit too.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, we'll just wait and see the answer.
Does his number start with 323 or 602?
No, it's 323.
Okay. I don't know why I never delete old numbers. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Don't you have an iPhone yet, or do you still have the iPod Touch?
iPhone. We all have iPhones.
The voicemail box.
I know.
Oh.
Is this Reagan?
I have a phone call right now. Yeah. I'm doing
duty.
Things like watching The Real Housewives.
Oh, he's watching Hoarders. That's what it is.
Orange County.
This isn't a message. Oh, Reagan, I thought you were pretending. That didn't sound like a real message. I thought you were just saying that while you're watching Real Housewives of Orange Juice. Rachel and I are doing a program. We just thought we'd call you to see if you're available. If you are, dial me on... you know what? Just call Firm Uterus. I'll open the colon lines if you want.
You know what I did? Oh,
I gotta figure out how to. I can never figure out how to hang up this goddamn Skype.
Just click on his window.
It's not. I know, but sometimes it fucking doesn't work. Like now.
Oh.
Still recording his fucking voicemail.
Well, good. He'll get to hear the fucking show.
Oh, that's not right. We'll fill up his. Oh. Server in God knows where.
Where really? Does that happen?
I don't know. It'd be kind of cool. I guess we're just going to continue.
So, hi, Reagan.
Oh, wait, I found it. I found it.
Oh. Bye, Reagan.
That was so stupid. Go
That's
ahead.
Lame.
I have to open my Google
box. So,
guess
what I did in December? Like, the most psycho thing ever. Like, way crazier than Vipassana.
Oh, no. A sweat box?
I did. No, nothing like spiritual. I did a 21-day fast.
Okay, yeah, I remember telling you were retarded for that or something, didn't I?
Oh, we talked about. I don't know, but I did. I didn't eat for 21 days.
You said you were going on a fast, and you got mad at me because I said something about, it was like, I made a list of things on Twitter. It was like things that are just stupid, but people do anyway, and one of them was fasting, I think, or something like that.
No, oh, yeah, because... Oh, go ahead.
No, because I was making that list and I was talking to you about it. And then when you told me you were on fasting, then I added fasting to the list.
Yeah, that sounds
That's
right.
What it was.
So, but I didn't eat for 21 days.
At all?
21 days.
What? You must have had, is this the maple syrup thing or you must have taken some nutrition?
No, water.
Well, if you're on, you should at least made it a hunger strike so you can, you know, use it for a purpose.
Well, maybe I did. Maybe some good things happened in the world because I did it. You know, who knows?
Right. Let me.
Doug, aren't you impressed with my dedication?
Totally.
I just wanted to see if I could do it. You know what I mean?
I think it's retarded, but I'm glad that you feel.
Well, listen. Let me say this as a disclaimer. I think it's retarded too to just try to not eat for 21 days. Like I went to a special facility and was medically supervised.
You definitely have to meet Griselda because she does stupid shit like this too. I gotta get her on the phone.
I know. I remember that. We have to talk about it.
Because you're fast. No, you're both doing retarded things. And she lives right near you. She's at, I think, Upper West Side or something. Will you stop barking?
Why'd the phone just ring? What's that? Who are you calling, Reagan?
Griselda.
Oh, you're calling right now. I didn't.
I wanted to introduce you over the phone.
No, but it's kind of late here.
11:20. Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, it's too late. I already died.
You're going to wake her up.
Oh, you're right. Did I wake you? Yes. Okay.
Sort of.
Sorry, it's no big deal. I'm sorry. I didn't realize how late it was. I just wanted to introduce you.
I got up really early. It's okay.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to you later. I won't bother you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, you're right, Rachel. Oops.
That was fun.
Huh?
Let's see who else we can upset.
She was nice, though.
Oh, very nice. She's very nice about it all.
Oh, my God. Lady Raptastic is finally online. That wouldn't be good. But she's been off. She's been at MIA for so long. Interesting. Because her number...
I miss you. It's really good to talk to you.
It is good to talk to me.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it so far.
I called you because I missed yoga and I had a fucking panic attack. I had the worst DTs than from any drug I've ever done. And I'm
for
like,
the yoga.
Yeah, I'm like, I could go home and do a headstand, but then I'll just be up all night. I can't do yoga
at
home.
You got like really juiced up.
I can't do yoga at home. Like, for me, yoga's really hard no matter how much I do it. My teachers are very difficult. And it's like...
Oh, my God, I'm sorry. There's the biggest fucking New York rat running past me right now, and it just stopped right in front of me.
Oh, is it cute?
Ugh, disgusting. No, it's like a cat rat.
Oh, that is vile.
Disgusting. It's fucking this country's going to shit. Can I talk to you about something?
Absolutely.
You know this whole 2012 bullshit? Everyone's like, oh, the world's going to end in 2012, rah, rah, rah. You know what I mean?
I thought that was just a movie.
Yeah, but it was made in, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the world's not going to fucking end in 2012. Nobody thinks that shit outside America. It's like the most American-centric, weird thing.
Wait, who really believes that? I'm not in this world because
I
didn't...
Dude, so many people. Like, fruitcakes in California, so many people. Like, people
Why?
Who are
because
like,
it was
you're
in
otherwise
a movie?
Intelligent. No, they made the movie after the whole trend of this shit started. But my point is, like, you think the world's going to end? No, it's just the American economy's in a shitter. It's just America, you know, America is like that dickhead frat boy who shows up at all the parties and acts like an asshole.
Right.
And finally a punk rocker smashes a bottle over his head and he gets like permanent damage. He gets like a little retarded and he gets a little slur to his words and a little limp. And he never comes back all the way. Well, that's what happened to the dickhead frat boy that is America.
George
and, like,
Bush.
He'll probably be nicer and cooler. No, I'm saying America collectively, not George Bush.
No, I know, but you were describing George Bush.
True. But do you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's
totally
like, oh, the world's going to end in 2012. No, it's just America is not the superstar front jock anymore.
You know what,
that's all.
You know what Evo Morales said, the socialist president of Bolivia? He said that the earthquake was God's punishment for not taking care of the earth. And I just thought that was so stupid because, you know, you always have the right-wing crazy people, Pat Buchanan, saying it's because of gay people. Mm-hmm. And you have the left, mm-hmm. the left wing doing the exact same thing. I mean, because I was laughing. I'm like, how could you blame yeah. this on global warming? And then sure enough, somebody blamed it. I mean, it's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like this whole thing, like, the world, you know, the world ending in 20... Like, the world fucking ended when the bomb fell in Hiroshima for all those motherfuckers.
Right.
You know what I mean? We've, like, made the world end for others many times in America.
It is something,
you know what I mean?
In the
it's
human
like,
psyche that requires that. There's been a looming apocalypse for as long as man's been around, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You know, and it's always soon, and they always predict it, and it's always in some fucking document,
mm-hmm.
and then it never fucking happens. But see, I have a theory, too. You know, parallel universes, a lot of people have, you know, scientists believe that they're true because of string theory and all this crap. You know, and it could...
Yeah, that's what this show is about, is that we go to a parallel universe in the rocket.
Okay.
Go on.
Well, and that's like what's happening on Lost now, but the thing is, I think what happens is, and I used to fantasize this about as a kid, but I think it just forks, maybe. So, maybe we all died in the 80s. You know, maybe some stupid-ass fucker blew up everyone. And we just forked into a parallel universe where that didn't happen. Meanwhile,
yeah, like, what's, like, Sixth Sense? Like, a big collective Sixth Sense?
Mm-hmm. So then we'll...
We're all dead, but we don't know it.
No, because it's a different universe. We're not dead. In that universe,
we
are.
Oh, I got you. We're in a parallel world, then.
Right.
Well, fuck, if so, I mean, we should consider ourselves lucky.
Yeah. Hello? Oh, I thought I lost
you. I'm right here.
So what else? How long is the show? When does it end?
We open on Thursday, and we run for a month with possibility to expand.
Oh, that's great. And where is it? Lower East Side?
It's at South Street Seaport. I mean, it's we're right by the Twin Towers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that for a reason? I guess so.
Well, it's because the Lower Manhattan Cultural Center gave the grant and the space of the old Liz Claiborne store.
Oh. I have this friend, he just Facebooked 2 days into Weight Watchers, and I'm already 22 points over. Somebody hide my Cocoa
Puffs. See, that's like the lose it thing. It has, like, you can only eat a certain amount of calories, and then you're fucked.
Yeah. I can't diet.
There was something else. I know.
I ate a pint of cake batter Ben and Jerry's yesterday because Wanda told me it was one of her favorites, and it wasn't very good.
I love cake batter. It's my favorite. You know that. Remember we've done whole shows where I ate a whole, but I like the Cold Stone cake batter.
Yeah, Cold Stone's cake batter is good. It tastes like cake batter, but have you tried the Ben and Jerry's?
Yeah, it's good. It's not as good.
It doesn't taste like cake batter. It tastes like cheap-ass ice cream with fudge in it.
No, does taste like cake batter to me, but it's not as good as Cold Stone. So we kind of agree.
But didn't Cold Stone go out of business because all the Cold Stones here closed?
Yeah, everybody's going to shit. That's what I'm telling you. Yeah. All the chains in America are going to shit. And Cold Stone's evil anyway, so good riddance, remember? So.
Right.
Whatever.
But so what else about America and all this crap?
I don't know. I had something I wanted to tell you, but I can't remember. We talked about stinky hair and bloody sheets.
Stink hair, bloody sheets, right. Your show, you said there's a lot to talk about.
We can tell you and go to November 3rd Club. The website,
oh, yeah.
I have a poem posted that I wrote to honor Juan and mm-hmm. yourself.
Yes.
So that's cool.
That was very nice.
I'm very pleased about that.
What else?
I'm DJing in the show using Ableton Live. I'm DJing, like, for the first time in a real show, not just a gig, which is cool.
I hope you're better at it than I am.
Well.
Even though I've been using it for over 4 years, and I still fucking have technical problems, but it's because I'm retarded lesbian. It's
I know, me too. I screw up all the time.
What version are you using of Live, do you know?
Eight.
Yeah. On a PC or Mac?
I like 8, though. Mac.
Yeah, you're probably okay. But see, it had a problem with me and doing really long shows, and it was crashing.
Well, you know, it's funny. I had that problem too, but I found out I was using an external drive,
uh-huh.
and it was like not fast enough. So, but you're not using any external drive, right?
No, I'm not. But are you? Fuck! I lost my train. Lesbian? No.
Am I beta testing 8.5 or whatever?
No, no, no. That wasn't the question. It's do you use warping?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
I do, but only when I'm mixing songs, like, for people to dance to.
Okay, and do you, what else? Oh, God, I'm so
you gotta make sure you're not in warp mode when you're recording the audio. That might be part of your problem.
No, I'm asking for you. Oh, yeah, are you on Snow Leopard or the other one?
No, no.
That's why you're not having a problem.
Yes, it is, because when I went and did a little workshop with this guy who did, he's really cool. Let's give him a plug, actually. His name's Gavin Whiteley. And
in
he
New York?
Runs down, no, in Vegas, he runs the Beatles Love Cirque du Soleil show. And I got to go do a one-on-one Ableton Live session with him. And it was like the week that Snow Leopard came out. And he was like, for God's sake, whatever you do, do not put Snow Leopard on your machine because you're going to have trouble live. So I didn't.
I wish you told me that.
Well, I didn't even know you used it then.
I've been using it for four years. Since version 4.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that you recorded it for live.
Mm-hmm. I do.
So this must be fun for people to listen to. Let's talk about
your
program.
Meta. People are morons. They're
anyway.
Like, you know, this way we'll give the haters something to hate and we'll give the likers something to like.
Something to love.
Right.
Yeah, something for everyone. So, yeah, so it's weird to be in New York. You know, I used to live here. It's fucking trippy to be here.
Did you used to live there? When?
Yeah. Like, 93 to 98.
Good God, are you that old?
Yeah, I'm very old. I was young when I moved here, though. I wasn't even 20. When I meet, like, 19-year-olds now who moved to New York, I'm like, oh, Christ.
I'm 1,000.
I mean, God protect the stupid. I mean, that's for sure.
You know, it amazes me when I meet 21-year-olds, and they know so much. I'm not saying in general, but when I meet somebody who does, and they were experienced, and they're really good at stuff, you know, I'm like, you had such a short life so far. How could you have learned all that? But the thing is, when you're young, the younger you are, the slower time goes. Like for me, a week goes
absolutely
by in a
right.
second. So I don't get shit.
Well, think about it.
I napped through my 30s.
Yeah, it's literally true, though, because
I know.
When you're like 10 years old, a year is a tenth of your life.
Right.
But now, like for you, a year is like a 70th of your life, you know?
Right, exactly. Which sucks. So,
but it is weird. It's weird getting older.
I'm going to see Alice in Wonderland on Saturday.
Ooh.
The 3D, I guess.
Hopefully that'll be a better use of 3D than Avatar.
I didn't see Avatar, but I'm angry with this whole 3D thing. It really makes me mad. Like, there needs to be... Sometimes you just need to put a moratorium on technology. Like, I think a lot of people made fun of Microsoft because they stayed on Windows XP for so long. But it's good because... you know, it allows people to not have to change all the time. And I was in a focus group for Microsoft a long time ago, and that's what I told them when I was an IT manager. I said, you've got to stop sending out these upgrades. It's ridiculous. It's just too much work, and we don't like to work. So, but in any case, so, you know, with video, everybody has video cameras, and it was DV, and then it became high def, and everybody got high definition cameras. And
I
you're
know,
telling
that's
me
how they make money,
right? And you're telling me now, in the middle of this fucking shit economy, where you want us to fucking buy these goddamn 3D cameras so that it can be 3D? I don't care. It's fucking stupid. It is just inherently stupid. Just like those tacky hologram things you see at Spencer's Gift. Black velvet paintings. What did you think of Avatar? Why was it bad? Because most people are like, oh, it's the best
so
thing.
So racist.
Really?
So racist.
Oh, my God. Tell me.
It's just so fucking racist. It's just like a white male colonizer fantasy story again. It's like, oh. And it's, you know what else? It's ableist as well. I found it, like, very offensive. Like, the main guy in it is, like...
I don't understand the word you just said.
Wheelchair. Ableist.
I've never heard that.
Well, it's like racist. So it's a prejudice
against
expressed
handicap?
Against people with differing physical capabilities.
Okay.
So the main guy is like in a wheelchair, right?
Yeah.
Because he got like injured in the war or something. And like the sergeant who's like going to send him into this alternate reality, send his hologram in. In the hologram, his legs work again. But like the sergeant even said to him, he's like, you do this mission for us, we'll get you some real legs. Like, he doesn't have real legs.
That's,
you know,
interesting.
What I mean? It's so offensive.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like
so
Lost
offensive.
Too, because in Lost, the guy who's turning out to be the biggest villain is also a handicapped in one of his universes.
But that's not, it's not that having a handicapped person is the way that they treat his disability.
Yeah.
And that anyone with a disability would just want to go into an alternate reality where they could have legs. Like, you know what I mean? It was just kind of reductive.
Right.
It doesn't really
right.
honor the reality of that experience. It's very, but more it's like all the
I got accosted by this
that
woman.
Live on Pandora.
I got accosted by this woman with a hook.
Oh, wow.
Seriously.
That's pretty crazy.
Not accosted. I don't know if that's the right word, but I got morally, I was told, I was, what do they call it? I was served. I got served.
You got served.
Mm-hmm. So this girl I've known since I was probably, I don't know, in fifth grade. How old are you then? I've known her forever. She was like my sister's best friend, you know, so she was like the person, you know, I kind of idolized because, ooh, my older sister knows everything and her friend, and she has a hook. Okay? A hook.
Uh-huh.
Just a regular hook. What is this? So the hook. Okay. So I saw her, and I run into her all the time. So I saw her at Caribou. She comes in. She sits down, and she tells me about her job and how much she hates it. She's an administrator of some boring-ass nonprofit, you know, archaeological something or other. She went to Smith with my sister, too. Or no. Yes, she did. Did she? Oh, my God. Yeah, they even went to college together, I think. Anyway, my sister won't even talk to her anymore, but I found out why. So she's like going on and on. She's like, so what are you doing, Richard? I mean, Madge. I'm like, first of all, I think you're senile because you just called me a different name. But what I'm doing is I'm working in the... I told her what I do. Big mistake to tell that to a hairy-legged... Smithy, feminist, 70s era feminist. I've got... second wave, I think.
Second wave, 70s, yeah.
So I got served, and she just proceeded. Before, she didn't ask a single question about, like, what kind of porn is it, blah, nothing. What do you do? Nothing. And she just started screaming. She's like, oh, my God, you can't do that. That's evil. That's evil. And she starts going through her book and giving me context so I can get jobs at the university or something. And she's like, you can't do it, it's evil, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, so is capitalism. She's like, yeah, but this does nothing to enrich it. I mean, she made a lot of points, but she was just so incredibly judgmental that it was fucking unbelievable. And I see her all the time, like at the gym, and I swear she's like stalking me now. I almost, God, this fucking Skype noise. I almost, like, I keep almost running into her. Like yesterday, I go to use my iPhone after a yoga class in the lobby of the gym. And I almost sit down right next to her, and I look, and I'm like, oh, no, the hook. But, I mean, I don't call her that because I'm ableist.
She doesn't really have a hook.
She does.
The captain hook?
Yeah. A claw, really.
Oh, my God.
It is because it's got two prongs. It looks like – I was describing to Cheryl. It looks like – a KitchenAid Mixmaster has that dough attachment.
Yes, I know the kind of hand you're talking about. Oh. I'm aware. I know.
Anyway,
she probably got used to working with that during second wave feminism, and that's all.
Anyway, well, you were talking about ableism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, huh?
But, you know, did you see that movie, What was it? Oh, District 9. Did you see that one?
No. How was it?
Totally racist. Completely over the top.
Was it? Because
all the bad people were Nigerians. I mean, it was like...
so bad. Yeah. Like, all the aliens they had played by black people, like literal African-American.
Really?
Yes. And then they'd, like, you know, morph them and make them blue and whatever. And then even, like, Sigourney Weaver's character, like, she's, like, a scientist who goes to work with the natives, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when they go, hold on, here we go. I'm recording a radio show right now and giving props to Flight 18 and giving... Literally, we're on the air right now. Hi, everybody.
I love how you say on the air.
And the captain of our ship.
Toot, toot.
Say hello. Hi. Hello, everybody. I'm going to come with you, and we'll talk while I get.
Have fun in the sky.
No, listen.
Have fun in the sky.
So Sigourney goes, and she's like, oh, I'm going to go help the natives, you know?
Yeah.
And then when she goes into the holographic universe,
right?
She has fucking cornrows.
What?
Like the alien version of her.
I know. I got to see this.
In the hologram world.
Hold on. What? Tell me what to Google. I have to see this.
Huh?
I need to see.
Google Sigourney Weaver avatar.
Okay. I don't see no cornrows.
And then go on my Facebook page. Go on my Facebook page.
Hold on.
And you'll see a.
I don't see her in avatar. I don't see no cornrows.
And the thing that's fucked up is that I don't think anybody knew that they were making a racist movie.
I've never heard anybody say any of this except until right now. Never.
Listen,
nobody said anything
alone,
bad
like,
about it. No, I believe you. It's just funny that nobody else is saying this. Okay, so...
Well, who are you talking to about it? White man?
I don't talk. So, Rachel,
Cam... It's like Dances with Wolves. It's a white colonizer fantasy that... They'll go into the native people that they've betrayed,
and the white
golden child will be the leader and save the day.
I discover, you know, Columbus discovered America, all that bullshit.
Yes, it's exactly what it is.
It's so
it's a white colonizer
stupid.
Fantasy.
All right,
it's
but
so
I'm on your Facebook page. What am I looking for?
Okay, look in my photos. Wait, let me see where it is.
Who is Jawanza Dumanasani? Oh my God,
he's a poet. He's a lovely poet, Jawanza Dumanasani.
Okay. Cheryl,
it's lovely.
I have to shit him. Okay, what? What am I looking
and
for,
it's,
Rachel?
Somebody did, I'm going to tell you, someone took, it, you know how when they do a movie script, they do a treatment of it, and it's like a one-page synopsis of the script?
Yeah.
Someone took the one-page treatment for Pocahontas by Disney.
Yeah.
And all they did was like Mad Lib, like cross out the names of characters and put in the names from Avatar, and it's like the same plot. Exactly. Brilliant.
Well, that's what they say, you know, if you want to write anything, you know, just copy something because it's everything.
Yeah, but
already
don't copy a racist dinosaur. Like, so bad.
What's the racist dinosaur?
Pocahontas Disney movie?
Has a dinosaur in it? I didn't watch it.
I mean, a dinosaur. By dinosaur, I mean old, tired, extinct thing.
Okay, I don't know. I don't get any of this, but whatever.
I'm not saying like there's an actual racist pterodactyl or anything.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, what?
That would actually be a good movie.
I'm getting really confused
right now.
Kind
of like an All in the Family, but...
Getting really confused. And I don't see a picture. They must have it locked down. You know what I mean?
Well,
Avatar movie.
I just told you the whole thing. You know,
yeah, but I want to see with the fucking cornrows. Is it cornrows or cornrows?
Just put in Avatar and Sigourney Weaver. And
I did. Hello.
Are you in Google Images?
But it was all just things getting her award. Yes, I did. They must have like had lawyers get rid of everything. Okay, I'm on the Avatar's website and it's loading some bullshit flash. God.
Did you look in images? Did you go to Google Images?
I did. I got, yes. Enter the official site. I'm going onto the website. Oh, for God's sake, it's slow as hell.
Oh my God, you're cutting out so bad.
I am?
Well, I'll sorry.
Why am I cutting? I can hear you fine.
You're cutting out so much.
Do you want me to call you right back?
I'm here, but you're cutting out so much.
Do you want me to call you right back?
No. Now you sound good.
Okay.
You sound great now, actually.
Oh, that's good.
So imagine, so there's Pandora, which is this new planet they found, right? And
right.
So they fly in all the white Americans that are going to go and try to befriend the new people on the planet and try to, you know, work with them. But it's like a government-funded thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, blah, blah, blah. The point is that they have to, they're like, oh, so to go work with the people but not have them be mad at us, we have to look like them. So they make these hologram versions of themselves.
So there's basically
going
blackface.
Yes, it's exactly what it is. Because it's all African-American actors playing.
Are you sure?
The parts of the
alien. I mean, that's
just
so, it's just so unbelievable to me.
It's so appalling. Trust me, I'm not the only person who thinks this. If you Google Avatar and racism, you'll find many, many articles about it.
Hold on, I'm on their website and it's playing this annoying music. I don't know how to... God, websites, why do they still do that fucking shit?
I know. Like, don't they know that everybody hates that? Like, they get in trouble at work?
Okay.
Like, who does that anymore?
Okay, I'm not sure if... Oh, it's making more noise now. I see a picture of a lady in cornrows, but doesn't look like Sigourney Weaver.
It is her. It's the blue version of her, trust me.
But she has, like, a square nose.
Yeah, because they made the alien version of her.
I see. So she doesn't even play it.
She played it, but then she completely digitized and like animated. You see what I mean?
And does she look Negro?
No, she looks like this alien version thing. But it's like you said. It's like if they did a movie and they're like, "Well, we're going to go to Africa and try to colonize Africa, but to do that, we're going to have to fit in. So let's go in blackface." It's so offensive.
Right, that was like that one movie, what was it, where they all, 2012, and they take over Africa.
it's like The Last Samurai, it's just all those stories where a white guy wants to be the hero of some other group.
I think it's interesting, though. I mean, I'm curious, that is Sigourney Weaver, I guess. It doesn't look like her. But it does look
it's
black.
An alien.
It does look like a black Sigourney Weaver, though. I want to see it.
It's so offensive. I couldn't believe what I was seeing with my own two eyes.
Oh, look at all this. I want to see it now. I'll steal it. I'll just watch it on the steal it thing since it's racist.
It's really, it was stressful. It's like to watch a movie that blatantly racist. Like, it was hard to sit through.
But it's interesting to me, like, what it means about our current society. Because I if you look back at the 50s, and you look at those, there were a lot of UFO invasion movies then.
Exactly.
You know,
we're scared the outsider is going to come and hurt us.
It was basically people were afraid.
We need a new planet. Yeah, the outsiders, Cold War.
Yeah. Cold
War. But now they're like, well, we fucked up Earth, so we need to find somewhere else to live. Oh, well, let's go see how the natives are. It's so fucked up.
Oh, is that the premise? So it's like, we ruined Earth, so let's ruin something else, and we'll shoot people and rationalize it, and we won't make we'll make it seem like we had to.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that when they go places
and
they end
up
killing everything.
It's a total bloodbath at the end, and then they still take that guy as their leader because he was chosen by the Tree of Souls. I'd be like, chop down that Tree of Souls. That Tree of Souls is racist.
Oh, that mean lesbian is in it from Lost, but she got fired for drunk driving.
Oh, Michelle Williams?
I'm not sure. She's
Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah.
She's cute in it. She's like a sassy little pilot, but she looks cute, so whatever.
Yeah. All right. All right, so we're done there. What else?
I don't know.
Okay.
Everybody's broke.
Sigourney Weaver. I'm clicking her. Sigourney Weaver as Grace Augustine. What a dumb name.
Oh, it's so out of touch. Like, I can't believe what a success this movie is. It's so out of touch.
Well, it didn't win. It won the Golden Globe for Best Picture.
It did.
Why?
And he even said... He said that, this is something interesting. He said when he won, I didn't see it, that the Hurt Locker director should have won or something.
Yeah.
And that's a woman, you know, and it's his ex-wife.
Oh, yeah, I did read about that. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of... And I actually saw The Hurt Locker, and my parents made me watch it with them.
I like that movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a well... It's like kind of the anti-Avatar. It's like no special effects, like really simple, gritty. It's not afraid to be quiet at certain points.
Okay, I'm looking at the cast.
But I thought it should have ended like 10 minutes sooner, but...
I'm looking at the cast. You know. Oh, see, I like when they last long because I don't want to have to do stuff that I'm avoiding. That's why I watch programs. I'm looking at the cast. I do see there's a lot of African-Americans in the cast.
But they all play the aliens. Hmm. On the planet. And that's what I was saying before, is like, I think it's sad, like, when you're like, okay, you got this part in this huge feature film, and you're going to play an alien, like, I doubt any of them thought, oh, it's probably all black people playing aliens. Like, they probably showed up to, like, do their script reads and, like, what the fuck is this? And then you still, when you're doing something that much post, you know, like, technical stuff happening after the fact, you don't know what the movie's going to look like or be. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, they don't know that the Sigourney Weaver character that is talking to her is going to show up, like, in blackface with cornrows.
Right.
But I'm sure Sigourney Weaver didn't even know that, you know?
That's weird. But, you know, I don't think it's things like that happen by mistake.
No, I don't think it was by mistake either. I'm just saying,
I think they're very careful, and this is true for advertising, too. I think most people, especially Democrats, have really no idea of how important Freudian psychology is, especially in advertising, but also in this type of thing. You know, the people like Karl Rove are successful. Propagandists are successful because they understand Freudian psychology, because it works.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
Yep.
And it's like you just need a little bit of truth sprinkled mm-hmm. in there, and you can get a whole bunch of bullshit slid under the radar.
Oh, yeah. You put an Oedipus complex in, like Lady Gaga does that perfectly in the Bad Romance video. Oedipus complex.
I love a Bad Romance video.
But it's like she's in a bathhouse. It's totally like, you know, she's the woman for, you know, so these gay men can fuck their mother, even though they're gay. And they don't have to think about it consciously, you know? I mean, it's in a fucking bathhouse.
I did not get that from it, but I'm interested in it.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't get that an Oedipus thing.
Well, I've been reading a lot of Joseph Campbell lately, so I'm biased towards thinking.
No, you know, I love this shit. Yeah. Are you kidding? This is like my favorite shit to talk about. So
mm-hmm.
I'm fascinated and intrigued.
All right, so...
I'm going to think about it more of a... But, I mean, that's a beautiful thing to think of a little 22-year-old girl being, like, the mommy of a million gay men. I love that.
It's weird. And it repeats itself over and over and over again. And it's Freudian. I believe that. And that's how she really... That's why these gay men are crazy for her. I mean, if you ask a guy, why do you like Lady Gaga so much? Oh, she's fierce. Oh, she's amazing. You know, it's hard to explain why you feel emotional about something. It's sort of, you know, it's like when you love somebody, it's hard to, it's not really something that works with logic. It's a totally different thing.
Yeah, it's not an intellectual thing. Yeah.
I mean, dogs
it's like
do it.
Visceral. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't really explain it. And I really think it has a lot of these subconscious, whatever. I don't want to, if I say
no,
any more, it'll be completely
bullshit.
No,
I love this shit.
Yeah, but I don't really
why I like this shit.
No, it's fine. I'm just saying I don't really know much more than what I said. It's just going to turn into more bullshit. So let's see.
Well,
I'm on the Wikipedia entry. I'm trying to find something about racism.
Just Google Ableton race. I mean, Ableton.
I did, but the problem is it comes up with all these sites, and I don't know. They're all going to be biased in one way.
I'll send you. Well, of course they're biased. They're against the movie.
But some. Apparently are against the theories of racism, and I'm just trying to find the most, you know, intelligent description. I don't know how to do that.
There's some good things about it.
Critical reception.
There's some good.
I'll mean,
there's a lot.
Racism.
Avatar's critics see racist themes.
Wow, racism is not even in the entire Wikipedia entry for it. Not, the word isn't in it.
Of course not. Of course not.
Wow. So they got it rid. They cleaned it up.
Oh yeah, that movie's made $1 billion.
Has it really? A billion?
Yeah, it's like the first movie ever to make $1 billion.
Wow.
I know.
What do you, are you going to find me a link?
No. There are so many, I just stopped.
And of course, the director is just super white. He looks, he's like Nordic.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Trust me, it's like a complete colonizer jizz session. It's so bad. It's like circle jerk. It's just...
How can a film, here I found one. How can a film about aliens be racist, you ask? There haven't been any anti-Avatar protests by actual 10-foot-tall blue-skinned Navi people, have there? Blah, blah, blah. Still, the movie's signs of racial paternalism are, to some critics, as apparent as the borrowed plot, with echoes of Dances with Wolves, Pocahontas, The Last Samurai, and other films in which a tribe of people of color depend on a white protagonist who's immersed himself in their culture to save them from their oppressors.
Mm-hmm.
A new AP article lays out the arguments against the notion that Avatar is racist, for and against. Well, let's find that. Okay, because the AP article, that's a good source. Okay, so here's the article from AP. Let's see. Okay, we're going to spoil this, but who cares? Near the end of the film, Avatar, the villain snarls at hero, "How does it feel to betray your own race? Both men are white, although the hero is inhabiting a blue-skinned, 9-foot-tall, long-tailed alien. Strange as it may seem for a film that pits greedy, immoral humans against noble denizens of a faraway moon, Avatar is being criticized by a small but vocal group of people who allege it contains racist themes, the white hero once again saving the primitive natives."
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what I thought when I saw it.
Yeah. The problem is, though, is it's such a common theme that even though it is racist, it's like no more racist than Thanksgiving.
Oh, no, but, like, that's racist, too.
Right, but it's such a part of our collective psyche that there's no way people are going to see that.
Well, not privileged people who haven't been on the other side of the coin, like a lovely lesbian like yourself.
That's right. I'm a lesbian.
That's right. I know.
Do you think the word Jew is bad when somebody says, "Are you a Jew or is he a Jew?"
I kind of, actually, it's funny you ask that. It kind of sounds a little labely. Like, instead of saying, "Are you Jewish?" saying, "Are you a Jew?"
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I just don't hear ever people say, "Are you a Christian?" They say, "Are you Christian?" But, and I never hear people who aren't kind of stuff say, "Are you a Jew?" They say, "Are you Jewish?" So I don't think it's like inherently fucked up to say, but I think it can be a good little red flag that you're talking to somebody who's in the category, you know?
So what do you do?
I fucking slap them. No, I don't.
No, like if it's somebody you have to work with. What do you do?
If somebody said to me, "Are you a Jew?"
Well, if you got...
Is that what you're asking?
If you got anti-Semitic overtones from somebody, I'm not saying if they said you were a Jew.
I would just say, "Yes, I am." I would say, "Yes, I'm a Jew."
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, what can I do? If I would have reacted every time I talked to one of the racist overtones, I never would have made it past sixth grade. My fucking hometown's so racist.
Yeah. God, there's going to be a sequel to this crap, too, isn't there? Ugh.
I'm sure there is.
I remember when I read the book that Jurassic Park was based on. Like, it was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that fucking Da Vinci Code was so fucking bad. It's such horrible writing. And
oh,
I'm
God.
Like, why does everybody read this shit?
You know, when I stopped, I have to tell you, I remember I read Jurassic Park when it first came out. Yeah. And I was very young when it first came out. And I remember being like, of course, the kind of... It's not a literary novel. The quality of the writing wasn't that great, but I kind of had a fun little adventure as I read the book. Like I had, it was like kind of, you know, candy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Da Vinci Code, I made it in like 2 pages. As so, I was so like, bleh. As soon as it started, it was like clearly Dan Brown's like fantasy, wet dream of himself being the main character, you know what I mean? And like within the first 2 pages, he was like, "So-and-so," I can't remember the main guy's name, he's like, "So-and-so was a such a dapper man, and his hair is tweed, and he kind of looks like Harrison Ford. And I was like, closing this one, not going to get very far.
Yeah, it was.
So reading this like guy's jizz session where he like talks about how he looks like Harrison Ford.
Right, testosterone, and then the way they describe women, and it's just so horrible.
I know.
I mean, it's just bad. I don't even find it offensive at all. I just think it's bad.
Just lame. No, just lame. Like, just so lame. Like, I'm like Harrison Ford.
I think most people in this country cannot tell the difference between good acting and horribly bad acting, and they can't tell the difference between good writing and bad writing, and most people are just idiots. By far.
I don't even know if it's that they can't tell the difference or they just don't even care. They just kind of go with whatever everyone else is reading Da Vinci Code, so they read it. You know what I mean? Because, like, my taste doesn't really depend on quality. I like a lot of things that are considered crap. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, but, like, all I care about is heart. I am an idiot, but what I care about is heart and sincerity. You know what I mean? Like, I like watching a bad actor act their heart out much better than a really good actor giving me a slick performance where they're checked out, you know?
Right, me too. I like camp a lot too, which is a lot of that.
Yeah. It's like, you know, we were just talking about tonight, actually, after our notes for the show, because we're getting ready to open, and I was trying to explain to everyone, and I think it has to do with not just acting, but life. Anything you do in life, when you start thinking about yourself, you're fucked. You just suck. When you're taking care of other people and you're worrying about other people, then you're okay. It's when you get, that's where depression comes from. You get all, you know, in a whirlpool of like your own shit. You're like worried about yourself and thinking about yourself.
Right.
As soon as you can take the focus off yourself and make it about something else, whether you're like building something or acting or whatever you're doing, your work is better quality. You're at a higher caliber.
Yeah.
You know, like you can't act sad. You can be concerned about another character on stage, though. You see what I mean?
I really want some sushi right now. Oh. I just saw an ad for sushi on my Facebook, and I'm like, oh my god, it looks so fucking good.
What kind would you like, though?
Tuna and, you know, nice things. Salmon, whatever, with the white stuff. Whatever, I don't care.
I would like some spicy tuna.
Like the chef special. I don't care.
Yum.
Just give me some. I'm so starving.
Let's go to Japan. I know, me too.
Oh, yeah.
I am too. Do you like Tony Bourdain? Do you ever watch him?
I don't know who that is.
Oh, watch him. I want to know what you think. I'm very curious what you think. He has a show called No Reservations.
Uh-huh.
And it's on Travel Channel. You can watch it for free.
What is it about?
He goes to different, he's a cook, well, he's a chef, and now he's just doing this show, and he goes to different locations, like Peru, wherever, and goes to check out life, but like the non-tourist version, like he hates all tourist shit, so he like goes and eats street food.
Oh, that's like how I like to travel.
Talks to the people. Yeah, of course, you'll love it. And he's just really salty and funny and curses and... He's just really raw and real. I really am into him right now. I think you like him. And he's a great fucking writer. He has a great book out called Kitchen Confidential about like what it's really like in the kitchen industry and all the drugs he used to do in the 80s and blah, blah, blah. He's cool.
Okay.
You'll dig it. I want to know what you think.
Okay. I won't, but I'll say I am right now.
Hmm?
I can't watch TV. I don't understand it. I only watch it when I like. I'll watch on demand. No, I like TV. It's the commercials. So I try to download.
But watch it on the internet. Yeah.
But see, even that they have commercials. They're not as bad.
No, like, listen. Do you have a Netflix account?
No.
Well, get Netflix. It's $5 a month, and you can watch them for free online with no commercials.
What can I watch?
You can watch all kinds of shit, but you can watch movies and TV shows and all kinds of shit.
You know what? I can't even afford that.
I know. Either.
Mm-hmm.
But if you find $5...
I'm putting a DVD out. It's shipping in March. It's called Madge Weinstein's European Vacation.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's available for pre-order now. Please.
Well,
play
if
it.
I order it, you can get the Netflix thing. Do you listen to Howard Stern?
No, you have to pay for that too. Everything you have to fucking pay for now. All this shit used to be free. TV, hello, it was always free.
Hold on, I'm gonna flush. So I just
radio was free. Great.
Well, listen to this. My mother got me a Sirius radio receiver for a car when I had no car. So when I finally got a car, I went to put it in, and it was like $100 to install it. And then I'm like, paper. I'm like, this is the worst fucking gift ever. It's like the most expensive, needless thing ever. And so I called here, and I was like, you know what? This is fucked up. My mom gave me this for my birthday. I didn't even have a car to put it in. And now I do, and it's going to cost me all this fucking money. This is a terrible birthday present. And so they gave me all these vouchers for free coupons to get it installed and everything. So I was like, all right, I'll try it. Because I love Howard Stern, so I'm listening. But, you know, Artie is, like, not doing well. He's in a mental hospital right now.
Good.
So, but I'm thinking maybe we should be his new sidekicks.
Oh, I've already asked. They didn't like it. Oh, Reagan's calling. Hold on.
Howard?
I don't talk to him, but I asked the VP. Hold on. Hi, Reagan.
Hello.
I'm going to put you in conference just a sec. Oh, yay, we're all here. We were talking about Howard Stern and how... What the fuck is that? Oh, shit. Motherfucker. Oh, my God. No. Oh, I'm waking her again. No. Oh, my God, stop. Stop. Oh, no. Oh, no, hang up. Hang up. Oh, no. I will call you both back. Oh, fuck. Who's there? Rachel?
Yes.
Oh, my God, this is the worst. I just called Griselda by mistake.
Oh, my God, you did not.
I did. Oh, no, this is horrible. Now I got to call Reagan. Oh, I'm so bad with computers. I used to not be. Reagan?
It's probably from hanging out with me too much.
Yes. I think it's too much estrogen in my blood.
Hello?
Yeah, it doesn't...
Oh. Hi.
Hi. Hi.
We were just talking about how I should replace... Rachel thinks said we, but I'm going to say...
No, I think we, not you. We. And Reagan can come too.
To be Artie Lang's replacement on... I have asked... I actually put it on his blog once a long time ago because he's always going for treatment. And he says such nasty things about gay people. I just don't like the guy. But I will say...
Howard Stern is not anti-gay.
No, I'm talking about Artie.
Oh, well, he's in the hospital now anyway.
I'm going to send the VP a letter and ask him to be the... I mean, he always answers, but he never likes to... You know, I'm like, can I pitch him shows like once a year? Like once a year, I contact the guy. He's in charge of all the entertainment programming. And every year I like propose something and he always is like, oh, not this year. But he's real nice when he rejects me. So that's what I'll do.
We need to talk to Howard himself.
There's no way to do that. How do you do that unless you work where he gets his fucking potato or bagel or whatever he eats today?
I don't know. I'm in New York. Maybe we can do that.
I have an idea for a replacement for Simon Cowell on American Idol.
Okay.
What?
Have you seen the movie Showgirls?
A long time ago.
No.
Oh, come on.
Just tell me.
I know.
No, it doesn't work if you haven't seen Showgirls.
I have. I just don't remember anything. That's the problem.
Okay.
I don't.
Do you remember the scene where Naomi Malone, Elizabeth Berkley, is auditioning for The Goddess Show in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
And then the guy is like, I'm erect. Why aren't you erect? Come on. Pinch him. Play around with him. Your nipples. Go get some ice.
Yeah.
Do you remember that guy?
Yeah. You want him?
Yeah. His name is Tony Moss, and I want him to be Simon Cowell's replacement on American Idol.
I like that. It's kind of like if you had, what's her face from Fame, when she's like, you're all pay and blood and tears.
Oh, yeah, you want fame?
I think it should be Ronald Reagan, but he's dead.
No, you need somebody. I mean, if we're going to make this show relevant, we need to get more X-rated on American Idol. So I want to see like a Toni Moss character telling a Jennifer Hudson-esque woman to take off her top and to pinch her nipples, to play around with them.
Yeah.
I want him to force all of the little girl contestants to put ice on their nipples to make them erect. That would make American Idol hip and relevant.
That's right.
I've never watched.
What do you guys? Show. What do you guys think about Fantasia?
The black or the movie?
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! The Na'vi alien.
Reagan, I was telling Rachel. Oh, I don't know if you saw my Twitter, but I tweeted these horrible things from what I was editing today. Oh, blood on the sheets.
Oh,
and duty. And duty. And they like kept filming. So I put on the I put on the film note, you know, the notes to the videographer. I'm like, shitty kitty with a bunch of stars, and then blood, really? Could you have at least not shot it?
Well, you call that a shitty kitty strawberry shortcake.
Hang on.
Oh my Rachel, God. Why are you in New York?
I'm doing a show.
What kind of show? A donkey show?
Yes. No, I'm doing a crazy performance art multimedia experience with my friend Eric, like a very old friend, like 20 years we've been friends.
I can answer this in 2 seconds. She's on.
Go ahead.
It's a performancey thing where they all go on a rocket ship in another dimension.
That's right.
The end.
I'm gonna go get an Esri drumstick. I'll be right back.
A what? I know. I want one.
Eat one for me.
No, that doesn't work. I hate you.
Oh my god! Listen, is Reagan gone?
No,
yes. Gone. Okay. Listen. Okay. Have you had the Snickers ice cream bar ever?
Yeah, of course. I've had everything.
So good, right?
Yeah.
So you know how a drumstick cone is pretty good, but it's not like real chocolate.
Yeah.
The Snickers ice cream people made a Snickers ice cream cone. It's the best thing I've
ever
tasted.
Please don't be racist, Rachel.
That's so
racist.
Hello, that word. I can't even say it, that word.
Snickers.
Stop it. It's not funny. You're as bad as Cheryl. God. So what's new with you, Reagan?
Same old. Nothing really exciting is going on in my life. I listened to my first episode of Cheryl's podcast.
What do you mean your first episode?
Wait, I never listened
Reagan,
to
Reagan.
Are you kidding?
No.
Listen, I want to talk about something.
Yeah. Well, so you have
somebody
been.
Friended me today, who's an old friend of mine, and I looked to see what friends we have in common, and there was only four of them, and one of them was you, and his name is Michael Rose. How do you know Michael Rose?
Oh, he's a really, really funny improv and sketch comedy actor, and he has a
I know that. I know him.
He has this... I want to promote this show on East Radio. His YouTube show is called Fagney and Gacy, and obviously it's a gay...
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
It's a gay play on Cagney and Lacey, and he's...
Okay, Cagney and Lacey is already gay. It's just lesbian. You mean male gay. That's different.
Right. Male gay.
Reagan...
Mm-hmm.
What are we? Oh, which show of Cheryl's did you hear?
Her most recent one.
Was that where she calls for?
Oh yeah. Okay. Let me tell you my favorite part of it.
Okay.
I really liked it. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it starts off with a phone call where she's talking to somebody about adult diapers and all of these different products.
Right.
So as she's calling the place. The operator, you know, the automated machine says, okay, you know, you're on hold right now. Be aware that your phone calls may be recorded.
She says,
Cheryl said yours too, honey.
Yeah, well, that was my, I originated that little thing, but I'm glad that she uses it too.
Well, we all borrow from one another. Like, for instance, Cheryl reading Craigslist Misconnections.
Right.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of like that's how things work.
Well,
you know?
We had to adopt Burbeja Clemens' shtick by Cheryl because Burbeja Clemens was so incredibly high maintenance. That's the problem with a lot of these brilliant people that I've had on the show where they're, like, hilarious and people are like, get them back on. I'm like, you have no idea what I have to do to get these people on the show. Like, I actually had to buy Burbeja Clemens a nose hair clipper and a shredder. I mean, and it's like, and then, you know, she calls me on the phone. I have to talk to her for hours and hours about all these delusions she's having because, of course, she's hilarious, so she's delusional.
I'm like the opposite in terms of when I'm doing a show with somebody. Mm-hmm. The minute we're done with the show, there's no conversation that I have after. I'm like, bye. When I say bye on the show, that's bye for the telephone.
But the problem is, these people will not do a show unless I give them that.
Right.
So I don't.
But they wouldn't know because it comes at the end. So you just hang up and then you already have the show.
Well, and that part works. I do that too. But it's like what happens is I'll get a couple calls during the week. I won't return them. Then I have to. I mean, you do have to ask the person. I mean, an email doesn't work because, you know, then the phone will ring. You know how it is. I'm being stalked by this woman. I can't even talk about it because I'm sure she's going to listen.
Is it Hagathird AIDS?
Yes.
I have to tell you, I love the dynamic of that
pig
person, that thing, trying to call, and you and Cheryl just shutting her down every time. It is so funny.
I liked when she called, and she's like, and Cheryl's like, "Well, your 5 minutes are up." He's like, "Just let me, okay, let me finish this one thought." And I go, "No," and just click. It's such power. I just love it. It's like being a rapist.
I've drunk with power.
Reagan, did you see Avatar?
No, not yet. I really want to see it, though.
Do you think it's racist, even though you didn't see it? I guess you can't really answer that.
Okay, my completely uninformed opinion.
Yes, sure.
Is that it's absolutely racist?
Okay. Wow, you
agree. He's right. It's so racist, Reagan. It's blow your fucking mind.
I also find it homophobic, imperialist, and extremely ageist.
Well, but Rachel also said it's ableist.
It's ableist, you forgot, yeah.
Like able-bodied? Oh, because that guy, the Marine or whoever, loses his ability to walk, right?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Got it. I read that. I got it. That makes sense to me.
Yep. Yep.
So you're both a little bit similar.
Brilliant.
We're both brilliant.
So I'm having an Oscar party this Sunday.
I saw it on your Facebook.
I know. I'm so sorry. Like I can't come.
What? Precious? What?
Did you like my Precious photo?
No, I didn't see the Precious photo.
Oh, you have to. If you go to ReaganFox.com, you can see the poster that I made of me as Precious. And let me read
this one. Oh my God, I'm scared.
Let me read this one part of the invitation that I like the most. And I think you'll like
Jesus
it too.
Jesus Christ. That's ridiculous. Your head is too big because it doesn't make her look fat enough.
That's what she said. Okay, so I have two different contests. The typical Oscar award contest where you try to guess who's going to win.
Yeah.
And then the second part is an Oscar-themed potluck contest. And I'll just read it straight from the website. It says, this is a potluck. It's potluck. So bring a dish or drink inspired by one of the nominated films. You might, for example, bring Precious-style pig's feet with extra hair or District 9 layer dip.
Is District 9 up for something?
Mm-hmm.
What?
I think best film.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Most racist?
Yeah, most. We were second. Did you see that one, Reagan?
I did see that.
Did you think it was racist?
It's like neck and neck. What will win for most racist?
Why? I think it's commentary about racism. I don't.
No, I don't mean the plot. I mean the Nigerians that were killing everyone.
Oh. I thought you meant like the prawns were.
Well, no, I didn't mean that.
That movie was so violent.
Oh my God, I know. And the new thing about in these movies where the blood splatters in 3D, even if it's not a 3D movie, I'm just so sick of that. I don't need to see all that fucking blood. It doesn't impress me. I don't care. Whatever happened to like Alfred Hitchcock when it would like be, you know, in your mind.
Suggested.
Fucking.
Right.
Everything.
That's what I like. My last thriller that I really, really liked was, I sound like such a suburban 50-year-old woman saying this, but wow. I loved What Lies Beneath, that movie
that
with
is.
Michelle Pfeiffer and Han Solo.
Harrison Ford?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it, I don't know.
It was just a thriller. Like, I don't like any of the torture porn stuff.
Did you see Antichrist?
Antichrist?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's a Lars von Trier.
I didn't even know there was a movie called Antichrist.
It's a Lars von Trier movie, and he was depressed and suicidal, and this is how he came out of his depression, was by making the most depressing movie ever. It's the theme is basically Nature is Satan's Church. And it's about this couple that goes to the, they're having sex and their kid falls out, their baby falls out the window and dies. So then they go to a cottage in the woods and the woman goes crazy and tries to kill her husband. But it's much more than that because it's fucking brilliantly filmed. Like Lars von Trier is amazing and he's the best editor I've ever seen. But they like make it's like an acid trip. Like they have like they'll do like weird little things. Like something in the background will go whoop, and it's just fucking freaky. But everybody said that was misogynist, and I didn't think it was.
Oh, Reagan, I'm on your website now too. You're just inviting anyone who comes to your website to come to your house for the Oscar party?
No. They also have to be friends with me on Facebook.
Who are those people you said that are coming? That are you? Are there famous people coming?
Well, one of my friends named Jordan is a screenwriter, and he's going. So, he told me he wasn't able to go to the party because he's actually going to be there, and I just thought that was cool by association.
Now you live in L.A., you have friends like that.
Now that I run L.A., my boyfriend's
having
a
job.
Wait, I hate that weight shit.
Wait. I want to know how you know Mike Rose. You never told me how you guys met.
What the fuck is this, Dirk Diggler?
I'm friends with J.C. Gardner and Beth Crosby, who do Jessica and Hunter. So Beth introduced me to Fagney and Gacy, and I was like, oh, this is hysterically funny. And then Mike Rose and I just started talking. Like, I think I contacted Mike Rose on Facebook.
So you've never actually met in person?
No, we have not.
Oh, how lovely. I hope that we can all hang out together. He's a lovely person. Like, you'll just even love him more in person. He's just
I'm sure I will.
I have a friend that won the contest to go to the Oscars, so he's going.
Hmm. What contest?
There was some contest, website, and he entered it and he won. Reagan, I sent you a picture.
Hold on. I need to redeem myself. Oh, my God.
There's something from your friends list on Flickr. You have some fucking freaks on there.
What?
Why did you put up the vagina video, Madge?
What is this? Madge, what is this penis?
It's fucking disgusting is what it is.
Madge, why did you put up the video of my pirate vagina again?
Why?
Yeah, why?
Because I was looking through old stuff and I thought that was good.
We're just like so, it's like the call of the wild. My vagina is the magnet that draws us together.
I honestly didn't remember having posted it before. I didn't realize I had posted it before. But I've been doing this.
No, not that one, but.
I've been doing this thing where I'm trying to collect all my old material. And I've actually found all my podcasts except for a period of 1.5 months, which was March and April and the first 2 weeks of April of 2005. So if anybody has those, I would like to have them.
I wish I had footage of myself. People do, for sure.
I had two thoughts. The first of which is I want to redeem myself on scary movies because the one, What Lies Beneath, even though I'll admit that was kind of lame. Have either of you seen the movie, the Spanish movie, The Orphanage?
No.
You have to rent that movie.
Okay. I'll write it down.
Rachel, it may be difficult for you because it's actually spoken in Spanish and there are subtitles, so you might find that challenging. But I think that
she can't read? Why?
To have to read?
She can be like Color Purple. Very good.
Now we're talking about Color Purple again. Let's talk about Fantasia. I just want to know, Reagan, what say you? Do you like Fantasia?
I would be interested to going to Pantagia and seeing her in The Color Purple,
what's her name?
Fantasia.
Then why did you just say going to Pantagia?
Pantagia is the theater that's playing.
That just happens to rhyme with her?
Yes, you could see Fantasia at Pantagia. In fact, we should let them know that they've got a real marketing coup there.
I don't like that.
In fact, that may be her actual full name, Fantasia Pantagia.
Fantasia
Barino. People be fucked up.
I liked it when she was a contestant on American Idol and she did Summertime. And she was crying. She was really good. She was very theatrical. And in fact, she won that season against Jennifer Hudson and LaToya London. And I think she deserved to win.
She killed it. She's got, I just love her crazy. She's got that kind of crazy that makes you a good artist. Like,
well, she looks like a hobgob. She looks like a little hobgob.
What's a hobgob?
What's a hobgob?
What is it? I don't know what it is.
It's like a goblin.
I don't either.
It's like a goblin.
A hobgoblin?
Like a hobgoblin.
Like a tree gnome?
Like a gargoyle turned to life.
I know the word hobgoblin. I thought you said hobgob, and I think she's
he did say
girl.
Hobgob.
And she also
is hobgob slang for hobgoblin. Like it's like too long to say hobgoblin. So you have to shorten it.
It's too hard.
She also looks like Candy Burris from The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
I don't have TV.
You don't have TV?
No.
Transvestite.
I watch the TV shows I like to watch on like Netflix for the $5. I can watch all the shows I want.
But what do you do about Bravo?
She fingers herself.
You can watch Bravo shows on Netflix.
Oh, you are so Anne Frank. You're like the most Jewish person on the face of the planet. Like,
I know. You know why my brother always makes fun of me? Because like, he's like, you fucking go to the library still. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, seriously?
You're her meep.
He's like, is it worth smelling like homeless urine just to read a book? You don't have to fucking buy it on Amazon, Rachel.
Reagan, you're meep.
But,
you're meep. You're the one that hides her in the attic and lets her die.
It's all your fault.
Do you know that lady just died? Isn't that amazing? That lady just died like a few weeks ago. Meep.
What lady?
Meep, the one that hid the Franks.
Really?
Yes, she just died. She was like 90,000.
I didn't know that because I don't watch TV.
Right.
She must have been, how old was she? Like 80, like 100? How old was she?
1,000. Reagan, you have a new iMac, don't you?
Yes.
Does it have the Magic Mouse?
Yes. I'm having trouble with my Magic Mouse. I have to go return it.
I just want to know if you like it. I guess not.
What is it? I don't even know about the Magic Mouse. What does it do?
Well, you can't know about it because you keep talking.
a Magic Mouse is a Bluetooth mouse, Rach. And you know how, like, on the old Macs, how the mouse, like, the ball would always get gunk in it and it would stop working?
Yeah, especially cum.
This has a multi-touch sensor on top of the mouse, so there's no ball, but you can still rotate. You can go back and forth on internet pages by just swiping your fingers one direction or the other. It's really cool. It's my favorite.
I got it. Like kind of.
It's your favorite what?
Instead of the little ball.
It's your favorite what?
It's my favorite mouse that I've purchased so far. Once
really?
I get the new one.
But it's not ergonomically disturbing because it's so flat?
Not at all. Okay. My hand got totally used to it.
All right, audience, I want one.
I think that your hand...
Is it cordless?
But I have lesbian
Rachel,
hands.
Rachel, I told you, it's Bluetooth.
I have ham hands, though. Could I still
You did say Bluetooth. You did.
You have a wooden hand. That's why you have a difficult time.
Oh, we already talked about claw hands tonight.
Listen,
it's like all coming full circle.
I was accosted by a woman with a claw, and you can't go there today.
Oh, listen, I have another tech thing that I want to talk about.
Okay.
Oh, good. Okay. We already did this, too. That's it.
No, that's good,
okay,
though.
So I've been really going back and forth on iPad, and at first I was really pissed off because I was anticipating the announcement and, you know, the tech specs and stuff like that. And then when he did his presentation, which was such a shitty presentation that he did, I was completely let down. And I said, absolutely not. I'm not doing first generation on this device at all.
Right.
And now I think I get the why and what for.
Well, I do. I'm definitely see the why and what for the device. But
me too.
Of that stuff you said, it really does make a lot of sense to not buy first generation Apple stuff. It always makes good sense.
I disagree with that.
Always.
Because when the second generation stuff comes out, then you can sell your first generation.
Well, that's true.
It covers most of the cost of the new device.
Probably.
Well
I was
true.
Reading today, though, that there's incredibly short supply.
Remember,
there.
I'm Anne Frank. Oh,
why should I be able to talk? It's only my show. Let Rachel scream. Why should I be able to talk? I forgot what I was going to say.
You were saying that you were reading online the message that there are going to be delays. Like originally there was going to be X amount.
Oh yeah. Released, so they're only going
to
have,
now it's down to just the United States and around 300,000 units.
Oh my God. You're really following it too.
Yeah.
He's really into it.
Yeah, you are.
I go to 9 to 5 Mac every single day, several times a day.
What about Mac Rumors? I like Mac Rumors.
I go to Mac Rumors too, but not as much as I go to 9 to 5 Mac.
Wow, that's interesting. I never knew you were like that. I mean, I do too forever, but I didn't know you were.
Well, you were the one who walked me through the purchase of my first Apple computer.
Okay, I'm Skyping you something disgusting that Lady Bunny just posted. Posted. It's ridiculous.
Oh, that's disgusting. I want to know what changed for you, Reagan. Oh, like, right? What made you excited now? Huh?
It's a foreskin.
So disgusting. I can't even look at that.
Rachel, uh-oh. Why aren't you at your computer? Maybe I can. You're on
why
your.
Why aren't I?
I wasn't mean.
I'm at rehearsal. You want me to go on my computer?
I wasn't being literal. No, I want to send you this thing. Maybe I can mail it to you. If I mail it to you now, you'll get it on your iPhone, right?
Yeah, probably. If I can get a signal, sure.
Are you using the headphone? Can you figure out how to do that without hanging up?
No. I can, I think.
Okay.
God willing.
Okay, I'm going to email it now. Okay, it's going to be from me. It's going to be from me, Rachel, because I'm the one emailing it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's the why and what for that I see.
Okay.
Tell me.
The first one, and this is, to me, the hardest one to understand until we actually see apps that are tailored to this advantage, but typically what makes this a revolutionary device is that when we think of computing, we think of one person at one machine,
right?
And that relationship. And this is multi-user interface, and we can't really understand that until we work with it. So I believe that the apps that...
Oh, you mean like playing a game or something where you say chess?
Yeah, like playing a game and passing something around. It's hard for us to understand that because we're used to thinking of computer games. If it's a multi-person game, then it's a number of people having to move around a device rather than us moving the device around different people.
No, it makes sense.
And I think that once the apps are tailored to that type of interface, when that happens, then people will really understand it. And then the second thing I saw in a video that was kind of an aha moment for me was when you're in front of your television screen or you're in bed. It's too clunky to bring a laptop with you.
Right.
It's just kind of a pain in the ass.
I have the same problem. It's fucking horrible.
I never use my laptop anymore because of that reason. But there are also times where I don't want to get on my iPhone because it's too small.
Right.
Or it doesn't have the capabilities, like the internet capabilities that I want out of the device
at
that moment.
Because I like to read news on the iPhone through my newsreader. But to look at websites... It's just too hard.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like on Adam for Adam, when I'm trolling for sex.
Oh, but I like the grinder, though. Good Lord. That's fun for me, theoretically, even though it's only a man. So what else with that?
I think the iPad is very exciting. I think more of like people like my mother who like really can't even use a computer.
I think
and like
of
all
DJs.
They really want to do is like on the iPhone, but like you said, Reagan, the iPhone's not big enough. But like just to have something that's really so simple user friendly.
The guy just signed on to Grindr. This guy lives in my building and he's a cocksucker. I mean cunt eater.
I'll go on my Grindr too.
It's like having a local free whore in your building.
A madam. No, Grindr is your madam.
No, I meant the person.
Oh, okay. Let's see. I'm signing on to Grindr now.
And this one is very good for lesbians because she likes to make baths with candles and give free massages. Why are we talking about Grindr all of a sudden? But you know what? The thing is for me, the first application I think of is DJs and musicians because everything.
Fun.
I mean, when you think about it, like I've always been waiting for a keyboard that has keyboards that change, you know, that has little you know, and they don't have it. Like video editing and all the stuff that I use, there's a million keyboard shortcuts that there's no way to remember it. But this thing could like be this ancillary keyboard or even replace the keyboard. And
it's so fun. You can control Ableton in there. And right. I'm sure they'll have it so soon.
Well, they already have it. They already have it. Can I talk or not? That already exists.
This joke never gets old to me. I love it.
That already exists on the. I have the application that matches exactly a Mackie mixer. It emulates it perfectly on the iPhone, and it interfaces with Ableton. But the problem is it's too small. It's too small for my ham hands.
Exactly.
Well, I was trying to say that, but you keep screaming
at me for making me look at that picture.
You just don't let me get a word in.
Oh my God! I just saw the picture.
We're gonna get so much hate mail. Rachel just never shuts up.
I fucking have a barf bubble in my throat.
You got it. Why don't you describe it for the radio audience?
Shut up. I want to hear what you have to say. I just was agreeing with you that it's going to be really fun, that it'll be bigger.
But Reagan likes when I yell at you. So.
I do.
I know. It's like a dysfunctional family. It's beautiful.
Mm. Right. Girdle.
I'll have you know, Reagan, she was being perfectly kind to me the whole time before you got on the phone.
I'm being nice.
Uh-oh. You're being totally nice. Totally nice.
My Ableton, I think it's about to crash. That sucks.
No, it's not. Why do you say that?
Because it's doing the thing it does before it crashes. Oh, no, it didn't.
Are you using,
Safe.
Are you using 8 or 4 right now?
8. But I'm on that fucking Snow Leopard bullshit.
It's the Snow Leopard, I'm telling you.
But if the beta works. The problem is I was downloading the beta. I didn't have time to download the beta because we would have to wait 20 extra minutes. The beta works and it expires. But no, bloody hell, I don't feel like explaining it to you. Who are you?
That's fine. I'm nobody.
Like you'll even understand. Where like you'll even
I
listen.
Anyway.
So Rachel's in a lesbian.
What?
I have a hot topic to discuss.
Go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So one of my friends named Karma sent me an other people a message on Facebook about a professor at, hold on, let me try to find the note because I don't want to get any of this information wrong. It's a professor at a university, an associate professor at a university called East Stroudsburg University, which I had never heard of before. And basically she got a Facebook account and made the following comments in her Facebook or on her Facebook wall. One said, does anyone know where I can find a very discreet hitman? Yeah, it's been that kind of day. And evidently, she was saying this in reference to some of the administrators at her university. And then, a little bit later, she made a statement that said, had a good day today, didn't want to kill even one student, smiley face. And then she said, now Friday was a different story. Well, you're laughing at that, but she was suspended from her job. And so my friend was notifying me of this and other of her friends on Facebook saying, you know, we need to kind of send letters to the provost or, you know, the other administrators at her university and tell her that we don't, you know, or tell them that we don't think that this is right. Yeah. And my response was, well, I don't think it's necessarily wrong, especially with what happened at that University of Alabama shooting.
Right.
I
kind of agree with that, actually.
Right. I mean, if this woman would have gone postal and the administration had done nothing about it, then everybody would bemoan the fact that, oh, well, you didn't.
And I believe it's the law that when somebody threatens them to kill themselves or other people, you're supposed to call law enforcement. I mean, I know therapists have to.
Well, and evidently she only had a handful of friends on Facebook because she just started her account. I think she had 32 friends, the article says.
Is she pretty or ugly?
Well, she is a black lesbian.
Seriously?
Which, huh?
Are you serious? Seriously?
Yeah, she's a black lesbian. And the one thing that I think is...
Are you sure she's a lesbian?
That's fucked up.
She's a lesbian? Are you sure?
I'm going to send you, I'll send you the link and you can see for yourself.
Listen, I want to say my thoughts about this too on this hot topic. I agree with you only in the sense, like, why would you be so stupid as to do that? Like,
well, I know a number of people who refer to their students as, oh, now it's time to meet the enemy, or, and they're doing it in a
so
playful
lame.
Way. I would just never do that. And I also
to say
I
like
also,
a death threat, though. Here's the thing.
That's a man,
if
Reagan.
Like funny and clever.
That's a man.
Like,
oh my God! This has nothing to do. This has nothing to do with death threats. This is because she's ugly as hell.
At any rate, so one of the things that okay. I feel really really bad about is that I don't agree with what yeah. she said. And
course.
I don't disagree with what the administration did in response. I think it would have been irresponsible to have any other type of response. But
happen.
Exactly. But evidently, it got out to the student population, and students have passed her and called her the N-word.
Oh my God.
And made a bunch of other disparaging remarks. And I feel bad about that. And especially if some, you know, she's clearly just not tapped into the fact that you don't, that what she said was basically retarded.
Rachel, I just sent you the picture of this lesbian.
Okay.
So please check your email right away.
I will. Well, listen, here's the thing. I understand why people are fighting. What she did is like sloppy and stupid. But here's the thing. The implications of this happening go past this loophole of this potential threat of her actually shooting someone, which is really a legal loophole. Most likely, this bitch ain't going to shoot anybody. You know what I mean? But it's
mean?
Like you can't take that chance.
I don't know
but
what you mean.
But above and beyond that.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
What?
I don't understand what you just said. It doesn't. I don't get it. Explain.
What?
I mean, I actually wasn't listening, okay?
Okay.
But I want to know what
okay.
you said.
I get that. In this specific case, because of anything, I just said specific instead of specific. In this specific case,
yeah.
if God forbid anything happened that she did a violent act and shot a student or something,
right.
obviously I don't really think that's the case here. But if God forbid that happened,
yeah.
I think that Reagan makes a good point in saying like they have to cover their asses, like they can't let that chance happen.
Right.
You know?
Right. Okay.
But the implications of this transcend just the direct threat of violence. Because think of if a teacher said something, you know, just all the things we're always conscious of, maybe getting us fired. You know what
about,
I mean?
Well, it's
and
also about Facebook.
On the internet. We talk about that all the time.
Right, and the privacy yes. of Facebook and all that crap. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Right. But it's just at the same time, it's like, why would you not think that was a stupid idea? Why would you think that was a good idea?
You know, our culture is so fried that we don't have privacy anymore by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, give me an example of how we do have privacy.
Well, because no one's really interested in what I'm doing, so I have privacy.
What do you mean, specifically? Explain.
I don't really... I have students, for example. I teach adults right now, not even like a real professor.
Yeah.
I can't even call myself a teacher. I'm a workshop leader or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I would never say a disparaging comment about anything about my students on my Facebook comments, even if I was feeling that, which generally I really don't. They're lovely people, but you know what I mean? That's just sloppy.
Even the retarded ones?
Oh my gosh. Reagan?
Yes.
Are you having another drumstick?
No, I'm
he's watching Hoarders again.
I'll be right back. Let me just
wait, what did he say, Richard?
He's watching Hoarders. he's watching Hoarders again.
Oh, of course. I mean, I can't blame him.
Cheryl already sent me the stills. There's a nice still of their refrigerator with spots all over it. I've never seen the show, but you know, some things people watch, so many people watch, you don't even have to see it. Rachel.
Yeah, totally. Unless it gets in your consciousness anyway. You can't even avoid it, even when you want to.
You know what being poor
okay,
does? It makes me so incredibly acutely aware of how ridiculously consumer-oriented this fucking country is. It's ridiculous. I mean, look at anything you read.
Okay, wait. Seriously, listen. I'm looking at the picture now. Okay?
Oh, good, yeah. That's okay. A man, right?
What's going on? That's a guy, right? That is not a female, right?
No, that is the female. That is a that's why Reagan said it's a lesbian. Her name is Gloria.
No, you're kidding me. That's a guy. Is that a chick? That's awesome. I love how the picture is so all forlorn in front of the Facebook page.
It's really a sad picture. It's almost heartbreaking. I mean,
it's like kind of like this confused, like, dude in the headlights look like, what? Yeah. I like Facebook. What happened?
She's probably so, like, I mean, she looks like somebody who's probably very lonely. I mean, because I can't imagine.
I can't read into that much. She might be. Listen,
look at
this
her
girl
sad
could get
face,
mad
though.
Play.
But her face
she
looks
might
so
get
sad.
Mad action.
What did with those eyebrows, though? Were those eyebrows, or is it just a skin pigment thing?
I like the shape of them, though. I like them. They're working.
You think they're real?
Maybe she dates girls who, like, really.
Well, we don't even know like... that she's a lesbian. <Of course. laughs>
Oh my God, listen to this. Oh my God, you know, like, the best part of New York, of course, is like the fucking people watching on the subway. It's like, and you're in LA, you're always in your little bubble in your car, you know?
Yeah.
And today I was on the train in from Brooklyn, and there was, it wasn't a couple, it was a guy and a girl sitting across from me on the train. And I was coming up through like Wall Street area, so they were like little business suit people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the guy, they were like, probably like, between you and my age, I don't know, somewhere between my age and 70.
Yeah.
And crack myself up. Oh, and like,
I think there was a point somewhere.
The girl of the two of them was like a guy. It was a guy. I'm assuming it was the most interesting gender bender person ever. Mm-hmm. I feel like it was a guy transitioning and taking already female hormones to do a male to female, if I had to guess, but like it was the strangest female experience.
I went to college with one of those.
Place it.
I went to college with one. I know exactly what you're talking about. And you're like constantly staring at the crotch to figure out what's going on in there.
And listen to this. And listen, she was in a business suit, right? But it was a mini skirt, and she was sitting like a guy, and like her legs were like squeezed together,
yeah,
but like not with her legs crossed. And she had like pantyhose and a skirt. Like I could see up her skirt almost. I was like, trying so hard to look into that dark cavern of mystery, but it's like I couldn't get a good view. But listen, okay, so like a guy haircut, like a regular guy short haircut, right?
Yeah.
A guy build, like a guy size, like kind of a nice guy, but
face,
not like a guy face, no facial hair. Like I was looking, so like beautiful skin of like a beautiful skin male who had light facial hair and got it lasered off maybe or something. You know what I mean? Like no facial hair, but not young, beautiful, dewy skin, like guy skin. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And then like a little bit of eyeshadow, like so random, like a little lavender eyeshadow, but no mascara. And then just a little bit of lip gloss. Like, it looks like a guy who just dressed up like a girl for the day. Do you know what I mean? But not like a transvestite. Like, it was the weirdest thing. And then it was beautiful, like it. He, she, probably person likes to be referred to as she was beautiful. You know what I mean? It's, I'm not saying like in a fucked up way.
Why do you
just,
think
like,
they want to be referred to as she because they're wearing a dress?
Yeah, she presented herself to the world as a female in a miniskirt. That's what I'm getting from, yeah. And then get this. Like a super high voice. Super high.
Like falsetto?
But not like a guy. No, that's what I was just going to say. It didn't sound like a guy talking in falsetto.
Try to talk like it now. Try to imitate it.
Like, I don't know. And like giggling. Like, I was
so
trippy. Yes. And the other guy was like so excited to be with this woman. He was, like, super juiced and, like, talking kind of extra loud, you know what I mean? Like, it might just be an excited person, but they definitely were, like, an attention-drawing, fascinating, dynamic duo, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he was talking about, but he was like, Oh, yeah, I have to try that. I have no idea what they were talking about. Could have been bungee jumping, could have been a certain kind of drink. I have no, whatever. He's like, oh, yeah, I have to try that. I really want to try that. And I was like, oh, my God, this guy, like, is into this woman. And, like, that's cute. They're, like, flirting. But then he's like, yeah, my wife was pregnant last year when we could have tried that. So we didn't try it.
Oh, my God. This is, like, totally from It's Pat. This is totally Pat.
Totally Pat.
Where you're just, like, constantly wondering.
Yeah.
You know what's
like
so funny?
Like a little lip gloss.
What?
Well, I came in, I started listening, actually like listening to your story about midway into it. And I think this is the difference between the way men and women communicate. Because men are so direct and they just get to the point.
Oh, well, no, this is different. This is the difference between Rachel and humanity.
Did you notice this, Reagan? Did you notice that the whole time me and Matt had a perfectly lovely conversation?
I'm not.
Can you finish what you were saying, Reagan?
So I was like, okay, I'm going to get into what Rachel's saying now. I'm done with my typing. I'm going to get into it. And most people, if they're midway into a story and I come in at the second half, I can get a sense of what the story is about. I was listening for any clues, leave me a breadcrumb.
But Reagan, to be fair, this was a really fucked up thing she's talking about. Do you know what she's talking about yet?
I know that there was a transgendered person involved and an energy drink. That's all I know.
And a what?
And I listened to about 15 minutes of it.
And a what?
A transgendered person and an energy drink.
I didn't hear anything but an energy drink.
No energy drink.
It was super tranny.
He even added detail.
I can summarize it. I can summarize that 20-minute spiel in three words. Can you stop for a second? Rachel met Pat.
Okay.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah. Tranny on train. Done.
No, but it wasn't a tranny. It was a Pat.
It was, I don't know what it was.
A tranny, you know what it is.
I think it was a male to female, not a tranny, you know, male to female transitioning is my best guess.
like Gloria Gladstone. Poor Gloria.
Like Middlesex, did you know, that's different, but did you read Middlesex, you guys, gals?
Did you read
Middlesex?
No, I may have, it sounds familiar, what is it?
It's a book by Jeffrey Genovese, and it's about a character who is born with mixed genitalia and is raised as a girl and then decides to live as a male.
I haven't.
It's a lovely book.
But
it's lovely.
Can I tell you a funny story, though, that reminds me of that? I don't think I've ever shared in my 1,000 shows. You know, I started LiveJournal, gosh, it was close. In October, it'll be 10 years ago. And when
were you an early adopter?
Yeah. And when I started on LiveJournal, the first thing I posted, it was something to the effect of, I have a penis and a vagina, my vagina itches and my penis is huge, or something like that. I don't remember. It was just stupid. And my whole point was to be this really annoying, like, oh my God, kind of person. The whole point was to not have my real identity. And just because there were so many, at the time, cam girls were really popular. So I was kind of trying to make fun of cam girls and I was just being retarded. Well, it quickly morphed into me being me. So I just started talking about pussies and stuff and penises. And so this person, Mistress Malarka, came and started being friendly. She's like, are you intersex? And I'm like, no. And she's like, and then she's like, it was so weird. She's like sharing her whole life story with me, thinking that I'm this closeted intersex person, when really I was just saying cunt and stuff. So she, like, when she found out I was making fun of it, she defriended me and she was so offended. And it turns out, I mean, she lives in Chicago and she knows people that I know, she was a law. And such a sad story, and he was like swapped at the. I don't know. I can't tell the story. The end. But at least I have the good sense to stop.
Oh, don't worry, Rachel will finish it for you. Oh, Rachie, who are you staying with in New York, Rachel?
Right now, I'm staying with my friends Eric and Belinda. Eric's the director of the show.
Belinda Carmichael.
He's the captain of the rocket.
Why are you still there?
Because I'm talking to you guys.
Aren't you afraid of getting raped?
No, I mean, there's other people here. There's, like, so much work to be done before we open. It's like one of those crazy madcap schemes, you know what I mean?
Right. I've been taping a lot of plays for people lately. There was a really interesting play that just closed.
Why don't you come to New York? Come to New York and see this.
Why don't you screen talk? I would love to.
Is that
actually
a euphemism for filming a lot of videos for Coco Dorm?
No, it's not. I've been doing that too. There was a play that just closed that I had to film it twice, and they just acted out all these Hopper paintings, and it was amazing because they're so well, the set was so well done and so well lit that the pictures I took almost were identical to the actual paintings.
Wow, that's cool.
You can see them on my Facebook.
Okay.
I think. I don't even know where I posted them. I just spit on my screen. Mystery.
I'm looking at this lady again.
What lady? Oh, the law?
The lady with the Facebook tragedy.
Me and my friend, we used to call those people laws. Like, because there's a he, you know how there's like a pronoun for he and she? But there's no pronoun for, like, it. Because,
yeah.
Like, he, she. And you have all these weird.
Yeah.
So we just made up a word, la. So you could say.
I don't like that.
I think you need to do something. French.
You need to, yeah, like, le and la. You need to come up with something more. I don't like.
Well, that's why it never stuck. I mean, this was a long time ago. I'm open
like
to
shim.
What?
Shit.
Shit.
Shit. She, he, it.
Yeah, but it sounds like shit.
Well, it is.
But
it is shit. That's why it sounds like shit.
So you'd rather have
or share.
Share?
Share.
I think it should be.
Oh, you know what? Oh, you know the person who. Sorry, I want to go back and
talk about TT?
I think that the person who does Mrs. Miller. I like it best when that person does Rebecca Nay. I think that is the funniest thing.
Yeah.
On the planet. And I think that the more sincere he plays Rebecca Nay, the better it is. It's so hilarious. Have you heard this, Rachel?
No, what is it?
But you know that Rebecca Nay thing comes from an actual video clip, like where she says that word for word.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I might be able to play it for you now. It's hilarious.
Hold on. I'm going to try to do that.
But she doesn't sound like... Do you know who that is that's doing Mrs. Miller?
No.
It's Tim from the Distorted View show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. And
I'm on your site now, Madge, but I can't remember what I'm supposed to look at.
He does such funny voices. Oh, my God. He's hilarious. And then he does this other one, the 13-year-old cutter named Katie. I'm a cutter because I just want to feel real and cut myself.
Rebecca Nay from the Trinity. I can't do it. I used to be able to do it about a couple years ago, and now I can't do Rebecca Nay's voice.
He goes something like, huh? I can't. It's so hard to do. It's so hard to do. Hi, this is Rebecca.
I can't do it.
I can kind of do the way she talks, but I can't do the voice. Like, hi, this is Rebecca.
I used to be able to do it, but I can't do it anymore.
I got a pussy and I got the AIDS. I have to play the
real Does Rebecca Nay really have AIDS?
Yeah. It's true. Everything was true that... That's why I said it was like it was really like the Sarah Palin what's her face thing, because it was almost repeating what Rebecca said in this clip almost verbatim.
And Distorted View guy listens to Tranny Rock?
No, the problem is I had played the clip with Tranny Rock during my show, and he saw it. And the first thing she says in this clip is, "I am not Tim from the Distorted View show," because I had already pointed out that she sounds like him. Let me see if I can find it.
Okay, I gotta go. We've been talking for 2 hours.
Now, wait a minute. Just give me a few more minutes. I gotta see if I can find this tranny clip. I don't think I can.
No.
Oh, no, Rebecca Nay. You have to listen to Rebecca Nay.
Where is it? Tranny.
Two hours.
Tranny in my spotlight. Tranny. Can you talk about something while I look for the tranny?
Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Reagan.
Welcome to Mommy Cast.
Oh, here it is. I found it.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Hey, Madge.
Can you hear this? Wait. Oh, my God. You'll love this. This is so fucking great.
Yes, Gretchen.
Let me, Gretchen. Paige and Gretchen. It's going to sound weird because I got to put the echo thingy on. So you'll hear yourself, but I'm sure you'll love it. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Jesus Christ. Fuck, how do I do this? Oh, okay. You know,
oh my God, what is this foot thing you sent me?
I sent you a foot because I didn't know what I wanted to send you something, so I sent you a dirty foot.
Whose is that?
What?
Is that your foot?
It's just some foot. I don't know whose foot it is. No, it's just a dirty foot.
It's the most disgusting. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Well, for some reason, I sent it to you. You just have to think about that, won't you?
Oh, you know, I'm...
What?
Her podcast is called Tranny Wreck, right?
Yeah.
Tranny Wreck Radio.
Okay, I'm just going to put my headphones up to the microphone because I don't know how else to do this, so just listen.
This is Tranny Wreck is like the best name ever.
Okay, shut up.
Okay.
Hey, Madge. It's Rebecca Nay from Tranny Wreck Radio. I told you I wasn't fucking Tim Henson, you whore. Anyways, well, you know, I look a lot better than him, so that bitch can't even compete. So you wanted me to send you a video question. As you notice, it is one track because I'm a fucking idiot. I can't figure out how to get this to work with two tracks, but I'm sure you can fix it, at least hopefully. Anyways, I appreciate you having me on my show. On my show.
I had to put Rachel on hold.
On your show? Hell, I'm taking over East Radio.
Are you still there, Reagan?
No. So you wanted a video question. Well, the video question is regarding the bullshit I'm facing for being HIV positive.
Positive.
I want to go get a new pussy and clitoris in Thailand. But the bastards over there want to charge me between 30 to 50% extra because I have HIV.
I have an
now,
HIV.
Do I look like I'm getting ready to die?
Yes.
Die?
Wait, hold on. I've got to put Rachel back on. Okay, Rachel, you're back. You were just so noisy, but you're back.
Rachel?
That whore.
This is Rebecca
Nay. Because I'm not. I'm perfectly healthy. And
I'm here.
She's got to talk. You got to hear this part. She talks about the
assholes over there are charging extra to make a profit. And I'm going to fight the fuckers. Even if I have to get a new clitoris and vagina here in the United States, I'll do it. I'll pay that extra money. And they're not getting my money until they decide to treat me the same as everyone.
Did you hear, though?
So, Madge, that's my advice.
Hello?
Oh, Jesus, Rachel. Reagan, did you hear her say that she's going to get her pussy in her clitoris of the United States? If she has. I mean, it was almost word for word what Tim said, wasn't it?
On my vagina sprays blood like the quadrastrain, super duper strain of HIV all over the doctors.
Oh, I have a feeling Rebecca Nay is going to show up in the next few episodes of Fox in the City.
They're going to charge me an additional 55%, and I'll go to Walmart and have it done.
I thought it was really funny because Tim said, I'm going to go to Taiwan and get a pussy. But she really said Thailand. But for some reason, I just thought it was so funny that he said Taiwan.
My pussy is made in Taiwan.
That's good.
Super age resistant. Tranny Wreck. Episode. I actually like Rebecca Nay. I think Rebecca Nay is intelligent.
But you know what the funniest thing is that after she got the surgery, she lost that voice. She can't do it anymore. What the fuck, Rachel?
After she got the surgery.
I gotta go.
Okay, you can go.
Go, bye.
No, what are you saying?
No, no. I like this song.
Rachel?
I'm in the rehearsal space.
No
shit,
I hear the rocket taking off. Let me guess, you start with Elton John singing Rocket Man. Am I right?
No, none of that obvious shit.
Okay.
None of that.
Good. You don't use pop music in it, right?
No pop music.
Good, good. Okay, can I hang up on you?
No more I love you.
I don't want to, but it's too noisy.
Okay, wait, let me get out of here for 1 second.
Oh, Jesus.
Rachel kind of, you know, Rachel's desire to be on you today, because, like, it reminds me of the guy who drinks piss.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Yes, absolutely. It's called Desperate.
Noise? Oh, I'll get out. I'll leave. I'm outside right now. It's actually 30 below zero in New York, but I just want to be here.
She still thinks it's the radio. Like, she's, all these friends come up. She's like, I'm on the radio right now. I'm like, there is not a, this has nothing to do with the radio. It has to do with, like, three speakers that are turned on.
And a tranny with HIV.
Right.
Super strain.
I asked her to be on that show, too, but she didn't respond.
What?
I asked her to be on the Thousands show, too, but she wouldn't.
Why not?
Wait, Reagan.
I don't know. I mean, who knows? She probably didn't feel like it. Everybody hates me, and don't forget.
No, that's not true.
A lot of people hate me because I've been really mean to certain people, like that chef in New York that walked around with...
Oh, the remarkable palate?
Yes, with the gold lame.
Why were you mean to him?
Because he wore this gold lame short shorts, and he had his nipples painted gold. And I was totally making fun of him. And he had his nude pic, his cock pics, all over the internet. So I just pointed that out to everybody. And he used his real name. So I was like, we called her Chef Bottom. And, you know, just Ruth relentlessly pointed out the names to all. I mean, she was on every possible site. With her real name. It's like, you don't get much dumber than that. And he has an enormous penis, turns out.
Well, did you try to contact him and say, look, I didn't mean anything?
No, because I meant it. Why would I do that?
I love you.
I've never apologized
okay,
for anything.
Bye.
Bye. This is a good thing to talk about. But bye, Rachel. Thank you for being on the program.
Why? What are you going to talk about behind my back?
Not. I was going to talk about... What were we going to talk about? Oh, being true to yourself.
Yeah, not apologizing. Right. I like that.
Because I decided that, okay, I am not going to apologize. I'm not going to change my show for anything because always somebody's going to think something's wrong with it. And the best artists I know don't fucking do that. And I've had so many people that they'll write me and say, well, Madge, I understand you want more listeners. Then you've got to stop playing those clips over and over again because it's really annoying. And I always just tell them, go fuck yourself, douchebag. Because that's my attitude. I mean, this show has to be exactly what I think it is, even if it's a piece of shit, because that's what I am, and I'm not going to apologize for, you know...
I think you shouldn't apologize. You're mixing up your issues
yourself.
Right now.
What?
I think you're mixing up your issues right now, because it's one thing to say that I'm not going to apologize for my art, and I'm going to do the show that I want to do. And another thing, if you did something without the intention to hurt somebody's feelings or make them feel bad, even if it is in large part their own fault, I think you can apologize.
Yeah, you're right. That was good and thoughtful. I was being reductive. You're right, Reagan.
I could, yes, you're right.
Okay, listen, you guys, I'm going to go, but listen, really important. Both of you, if you could come out to New York, you guys can be the special guest star in my show that I'm in. And I'd love to have you guys here. I'm not kidding at all.
I believe you, but I can't come. Sorry.
Why can't you come?
Reagan, because I'm fucking broke. Reagan, your turn.
Oh, I'm not going to go.
Bye, Rachel.
I love you. I'll be there with you.
It would be a really good opportunity to perform.
We're done talking about it. Rachel, we're going to go now.
God, bye.
Bye. Thank you. You too.
I love you.
Bye. Fucking Agatha, too. But, yeah, I mean, in rare instances, I have apologized. But it's like my attitude about apologies is it's not really an apology if I'm not willing to not do that again. You know what I mean? Like if I say, oh, I'm so sorry I stole that dollar from you, and then I steal a dollar from you, the apology is meaningless. So right, if I apologize for something that I'm going to do again, there's no point.
Well, if you could go back in time, mm-hmm. and you knew that kind of making fun of what was already there and pointing at these pictures of him nude. If you knew it was going to make him feel bad or threatened or, you know, whatever it made him feel, you would repeat that action?
Well, you know, I really have a hard time with these hypotheticals going back and changing the past because it just they've always seemed
okay. Pointless. So you would do it again in the future, like knowing if more pictures came out, knowing that
if in the same situation where he was using his public screen name, yeah, sure, I would. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's right, but you know.
Well, and I'm not necessarily judging you. No. I mean, it's like everybody works on their own calculus. I think that I, you know, now that I'm coming up on my 5-year anniversary, I've the time that I've taken away from doing a number of different podcasts, because for a while I was doing so many different shows, I have really thought about what it means to choose your battles. And I'm not even saying that this is a battle with you, but I look at some of the wars, the flame wars and shit that I've gotten into in the past, and I think, God, you know, I wasted so much energy on nonsense.
Well, and, no, and I see your point, because certainly if I had done things differently, I would probably be in a much better financial situation now. But I don't regret any of those things at the same time.
I mean, I can look back at the last 5 years and say there are a number of things that I would
do differently.
I would have done differently. Yeah.
But see, it's hard.
Interestingly, some of the most dramatic of those things I would not have done any differently. Like the fallout with Fausto and Mark. You know, the one thing I would have done differently is I would have insisted that we didn't talk about the details of what happened on Eat This Hot Show, because that's when everybody seemed to turn. You know what I mean? It was kind of like it was airing too much dirty laundry. We should have just they had the right approach, even though they kind of went behind our backs and were saying shit.
I don't even remember the details. I have such a shitty memory, but yeah. Well, I mean, of course I have things like that that I would do differently, I guess. But the reason I bring it up, though, it's not so much about the show. It's about me as a personality. Like a lot of people feel like, well, all of your I know a lot of people that have the philosophy of all character defects should be removed from me. And I am a failed, you know, I am not as good, you know, I am striving to have to remove all my defects of character. And I'm just saying some of them I want. Some of them I don't want to get rid of. And those are the things I'm not going to apologize for.
Oh, I agree with that.
Because like, that's who I am. That's all I'm really saying.
One of the things that I really embrace about the themes that I explore and how I explore them on Fox in the City is that I'm not afraid to contradict myself. And I'm also not afraid to play the villain in the narrative. And if you look around a lot of artistic scenes, like the performance poetry scene, or in a lot of podcasts, people always want to be the heroes of their own shows, and they always want to come from like an enlightened place where they can impart knowledge on other people.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to engage in a little doublespeak because I embrace contradiction.
Right,
you know, I think that the way that we've set things up politically and ideologically makes it seem like, you know, you have to buy this whole carton of beliefs that are, by the way, all contradictory.
Right.
To begin with.
Yeah, it's just like when you watch TV, nobody ever gives. They never give. Everybody just stays with their argument. Nobody ever says, you know what, you're right.
It just doesn't happen. It's always adversarial.
Yeah, right.
And the minute you point out somebody's contradictions, they freak out. And, you know, it's okay to have contradictions. Like, I think that it's a contradiction to fight tooth and nail to when our president wants to take us to war, and then to sit back and do nothing about healthcare, like that's what you're fighting for. I think it's a contradiction to be for the death penalty and against abortion. I think it's, but you know what? I'm not even necessarily making. I mean, I have my own personal beliefs about these issues, but the contradictions in themselves don't necessarily bother me all that much, because I think it's okay for somebody to hold contradictory points of view on different issues.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm very bothered by the racism in my show that's been going on for months. if not more.
I think that you walk.
But it continues anyway. What?
I mean, I think you definitely walk a line.
Yeah.
I mean, there are times where I'm listening to your show where, I mean, I'm laughing throughout the entire thing. And like I've said, yours is the only podcast that I listen to.
Right.
But there are times where I go, whoa, you know, this is.
Right.
This is a bit much. And the perspective that I always try to take is, if I were African American and I, or how would, what would my, if I had a black friend next to me, what would their reaction be if they were listening to the show with me and I introduced this as one of my favorite shows on the internet? How would they respond to me? I don't, I don't know.
Yeah.
How many black listeners do you think you have?
Well, I only know of one for sure. And he definitely plays along with the stuff. His, I don't know. I mean, no, there's a couple. There's that muscle guy, although I haven't heard from him lately. I don't know, but a lot of people have mentioned, have certainly told me they've stopped listening because of it. But at the same time, I see the problem as I see it, it's not, I really think that I see the difference between racism and, you know, poking fun at racism. But I think what happens is when you start approaching these themes, the audience takes it in a completely different direction. Like, I'll get stuff that is really, like, incredibly hateful. And I think, I don't know. I really don't
know. Well, like, so they'll use your jokes about racism and then
as an excuse to say horrible things on Twitter. Yeah.
Right, right. To be extremely, like, there's nothing, there's not a lot of irony in what they do,
and
how they appropriate your humor.
And here, this is a great example. This really bothered me today, in fact, a lot, more than probably any other day. But on Democracy Now!, they talked, it was all about racism, and, well, not all about, but there's a school, and it's somewhere near you, like San Diego, I don't know if it's a high school or what, and they had a, it was called Compton Cookout or something, and they totally made fun of Black History Month, and like they just, and the women had to wear, like, you know, they had a write-up of a description of the party, and, you know, the women had to, like, wear gold teeth and wear dress in all these stereotypical ways, and, you know, to make fun of it, you know, it, like the description said, you know, you have to wear gold teeth and be a welfare mama or stuff like that, and eat watermelon and fried chicken and all this stuff. And I was like, listen to this, thinking, you know, this is really a lot. You know, it's like, is this, if this is causing something in real life, you know, to happen, you know what I mean? Like, if this is, okay, a lot of people who listen, my show, from what I understand from talking to people, they tend to be in the lower 20s and even upper teens. So that group of people, when I hear that group of people doing stuff, I feel like, what's my part? You know, do I have a part in this kind of influence? You know what I mean?
Well, first of all, my take on your racist humor or humor about racism, I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
To me, I'm not going to say it has nothing to do with racism because it does.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, the way I interpret it is the joke is more about sacred cows. It's it's what the joke, yes, on its face is about racism and racist.
Right.
But to me, that's not what is making you laugh.
Yeah.
And it's not it's
the absurdity. It's the words.
You are like, what is the most sacred thing that I can take, and how can I laugh at it,
and I
understand the inclination to do that,
right.
But I think that a lot of other, and this kind of goes back to something that has bothered me for quite some time, and it's a conversation that we've had before.
Yeah,
it's when you're doing shows with people, there is there's a contract that you have, a spoken or sometimes an implied contract that you have with that person. It's kind of like when Rachel and I come on to Yeast Radio.
Yeah.
The way that I interact with Rachel on your show is not how Rachel and I interact in our day-to-day lives. Like, we
right.
are...
Of course not.
...quite respectful of one another and love one another. Mm. And that's why it was really hurtful for me that when Rachel and I stopped talking for a period of time, that people were making all of these assumptions about who did what. And it's kind of like every friendship goes through its ebb and flows, yeah. you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I was never angry at Rachel. There was never any animosity between us.
Right.
It wasn't this big blow up. It's kind of like when you're really close with somebody for a really long time,
right.
sometimes you'll spend a couple months where you don't say that much to one another.
Or a couple of years. I've had a couple of years before. Well, gosh, I've had a couple of years with you probably even.
Right, but I mean, it's not. There was never anything.
No.
There was never a falling out or anything like that. You know what I mean? It's but people will turn it into what they want to turn it into, and but my bigger problem
yeah.
is when you don't agree to do a show with somebody that there's not some type of understanding between the two of you,
yeah.
And they pull you into their world, they implicate you with their.
Yeah.
Their rhetoric, you know what I mean? It's kind of like...
Give me an example. I kind of know what you mean, but kind of not.
I think exactly what you're talking about, that your listeners can take your content
mm-hmm.
and bend it around
right.
and turn it into something that maybe you have no intention of it being turned into.
Right.
So they can take your jokes and turn them into something
right.
violent almost.
And how do I know that what happened in that school in San Diego isn't just an extension of that? I mean, it very well could be.
What do you mean? What school in San Diego?
The one I was talking about where they had the Compton cookout and.
Oh, right, right, yeah. right. Well,
I mean.
But see, that's always the line that you're going to walk when you engage in this type of humor. They're going to be people. Will walk away from something with whatever they want to take from it.
Right.
You know, there are people who are going to watch The Color Purple and think it's a comedy.
Or Precious. Well, see, Precious is a new genre of African-American camp, and I just don't think people have realized it yet, but whatever. That's a different story. It's interesting. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I kind of feel trapped a lot of times in my shtick sometimes. And it takes a really long time to rotate. And my content rotates over very long periods of time.
Right.
And I'm stuck in this racist rut. I mean, that's not really what it is, but for lack of a better way to describe it. And I can't...
But it
you know,
is.
I can't
but
just,
it is.
Okay.
But
I can't
but,
just...
But it is.
But I, okay. But I can't just snap my fingers and come out of it because so many other people are involved.
Right.
You know, and I can't just tell them... You know, we're going to stop because then if I blurt out something, then I'm a hypocrite. You know what I mean? And all this other stuff is in motion.
This is what I was talking
about.
It's
very difficult.
This is what I was talking about with contradiction. It's kind of like what you're doing is a contradiction. I know you.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think that everybody in our culture is racist because I think that racism as – just like homophobia and sexism, it's built into the very structures of how we communicate. It's how institutions are in this culture by virtue of our history. You know, I mean, it's we're all racist.
Yeah.
But in terms of like somebody who I don't think that you have any – how can I put this without – I know you. I know your heart. And I don't – listen to you and think, oh my gosh, like this is like my uncle who says racist things and earnestly believes them.
Right.
Like I don't think that you think that black people are inferior or that I think that you're just embracing something that's naughty. What's the naughtiest thing that I can say? And by virtue of you doing that, you know that it's wrong. So it's okay for me. But at the same time, it is racist.
Yeah.
And that's one of it's just a contradiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And I think that by virtue of you having this conversation, I mean, it shows that you're mm-hmm. at the very least, reflexive.
Well, and there's another aspect of it that I find interesting, which is the idea of not discriminating. And this is totally a contradiction, too. But, like, if you're racist against everybody, you're not discriminating. If you're racist against blacks and whites, or no, let's say you're racist against gays, not racist, whatever the fuck you call it. Let's say you're homophobic, outwardly, unapologetically, but you would never be caught saying the N-word or kike or anything like that. You know, that's discrimination.
Right. The minute, if you're going to be an equal opportunity offender, everybody has to be fair game. And if you say this is the one group who, I'm not going to make fun of people who have HIV and AIDS. I will not do that. Well, then that is... very revealing.
And, you know, and I could easily, I mean, and between Charlene and I, we've had a lot of those things that have happened in our lives very closely, whether it's cancer or AIDS or, you know, it's like we've earned the right to joke about this stuff in some ways.
I'll agree with that. I mean,
and nobody's ever like, you know. Yeah, I mean, it's very seldom people directly... Well, there was one interesting thing. The guy that does a lot of the album art, Jerry Blank is his name, according to his Gmail. But, you know, the really funny album art that's been coming up lately with me and Cheryl?
Yes.
And he, I can't even remember what occurred. But he wrote me an email saying, oh, my God. And he didn't do the album art that week. He didn't do it this week either. Which hopefully he's not mad. But he wrote me an email saying, oh, my God, is Cheryl really racist? And I really don't remember what the incident was, but I wrote back, no, you know.
Cheryl's not real.
Yeah, exactly.
But then again, Cheryl is real. I mean, another contradiction. But see, will the mind ever stop spinning?
That's part of what I find funny about doing the show as a whole is I'm interested in finding those people that can stay the whole ride and get through all the little things because eventually I'm going to cross your line. And I just find it almost a weird kind of test, and I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but to find out who these people are that can withstand all of that, I don't know. It makes me think of my grandmother who, you know, was the only survivor from her family of the, you know, of the death camps, you know, and how that made her and very tough and very sort of, I don't know. It's hard for me to describe.
Well, and I think that the type of humor that we engage in is very, I'm not going to say unique to the gay community, but it's a type of humor that, I don't know, survivors might adopt to deal with really horrific pain.
Right.
Like, I find myself to be way too empathetic. My ego boundaries are way too relaxed. Like, when somebody else is hurting, I earnestly hurt for that person, and I feel bad. I was watching The Amazing Race yesterday, and there were two mothers who were attorneys, and they got kicked off. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I cried at the end of The Amazing Race. It was stupid. Mm-hmm. So then I went and kicked my dog. And then
really?
But I think that when you're gay, because you really have a very keen understanding of what it's like to be marginalized or have something that's just out of reach. Yeah. Or like when I see these kids on American Idol and they have so many dreams, I'm just like, oh, you know, it's sad for me when I see them get kicked off. This is such a reductive way to discuss racism. But I think that gay men turn to comedy because we have a long history of trying to find light in very dark tunnels.
Right.
And there's, I mean, a lot of gay men that I know, and I don't mean to overgeneralize, but truly a lot of gay men that I know really feel like they have to be the life of the party, that, you know, they constantly go to humor and off-color humor at that. And I mean, it's something that I think that is endemic of gay men.
You know, somebody said something really funny in a meeting that I was at a couple of weeks ago, and he said, you know, and this is somebody who's been through a lot of stuff. He's probably in his 50s now. He said, you know, when I was in my 20s, I was, you know, I was cute and I was the life of the party and I was, you know, drinking and doing this and whatever. And he said, and then, you know, it's whenever it was, and then in my 30s or 40s or whenever it was, I lost my looks. So I became the bitch. You know, and I see that if you look around, like there's the bar bitch, a lot of times is that person who can't get attention from looks or physical, you know, whatever. But yeah.
Well, I've noticed when I came out of the closet, I came out of the closet when I was probably 17 years old. I mean, I always knew that I was gay, but I started going to gay bars, I think, at around the age of 17 or 18. Mm-hmm. So that was probably around 90, 93, 94. And when I went out to the gay bars, there were guys who were my age and in their early 20s and guys who were much older, but there wasn't a lot of in between. Mm-hmm. There were not a lot of gay guys in their 30s and 40s who were out because everybody in that generation, not everybody, but many of them died. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting for me now to be in my mid-30s because I thought when I was in my early 20s and late teens, I was like, if I'm still 30 and I'm going out to bars, just forget it. Like, end my life. I don't want to be that person. And now when I go out, it seems like everybody is in their 30s. And
yeah.
And so to me, I never really had a big group of 30 and 40 somethings that I looked up to when I was younger because they weren't there.
That's interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a very weird intergenerational dynamic. I mean, it's bizarre, yeah. I think, the number that does on your psyche as a young gay man, because you really can't foresee a gay future for yourself. All you see is young and super duper old.
Right.
And there's not a whole lot of in between.
But you know, a lot of gay men get suicidal in their 40s, though. The 40s can be pretty tough because the body changes a lot in the 40s. I mean, that's when aging really starts. That's when the eyes go. That's when, I don't mean to be depressing, it's just the way I see it. But, you know, the eyesight goes. I mean, I'm going through this now, even though I'm, of course, 60. But, you know, to have your eyesight fail, that you can't see your iPhone without holding it away, is... it's very depressing, you know, and the gray hair is coming in, and you see people that are maybe 2 years older than you where it just goes kerplunk.
Right.
And that, like, there is some number in the early 40s that I've seen where men just generally go kerplunk.
Well, you really have to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
I have a number of friends who are in their 40s, and we joke all the time about how in L.A., gay guys care about their bodies. In New York, they care about their clothes. Mm-hmm. And the men who are in their 40s and even their 50s in West Hollywood, they look good. But, I mean, it's a lot of upkeep. And I imagine, I can tell a big shift in energy levels from your 30s to your 40s just among my friends.
Right.
And it's not easy to go to the gym. But, I mean, I'm really glad that I stopped smoking when I stopped smoking, that I started going to the gym. I mean, these were
I didn't know you stopped smoking.
Oh, yeah. I haven't been a smoker for over 3 years now. Wow. And I did it cold turkey. Mm-hmm. It was horrible. It was the worst 4 months of my life.
There is a lot of upkeep. One thing I've noticed, too, is lately, if I get out of the cycle, like I had a sinus infection, I just didn't feel like doing yoga for a couple of weeks. It was so fucking hard to get back into it. Just that restart. Things, you know, like the flab comes sooner. And it goes, you know, it's like the upkeep is really important.
Right. Well, you have to, it's all habituated.
Yeah.
And so, like, my friends joke with me about how I go to the gym 5 days a week and I don't miss it. You know, once in a while, a couple of times a year, I'll take a week off because it's good to let your body relax. And that's when most of your muscles, you know, build up anyways, mm-hmm. during relax, not work. But I know how I am, and I thrive with structure.
Yeah,
so if I do anything to break that structure, if I say, well, you know what, I'm just going to take a day off this week, then I'll start justifying that routine.
Right.
And I've been going to the gym 5 days a week every week for almost 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do anything to break the cycle because you're right. The minute you start doing it, it goes to hell.
Well, yeah, I'm not necessarily talking about the habits. I'm just talking about the body, I'm not talking about the pattern going to hell. You know, the habit. I'm talking about the body.
Oh, like if you get sick, what happens to your body?
Well, no, I'm just saying if you're in your 40s and you stop going to the gym for 2 weeks, it's a lot different from being in your 30s and not going to the gym for 2 weeks. It's a lot harder to get back to where you were.
Oh, I'm sure.
But on the other hand, because that's all very depressing, and I know several people personally. I mean, I had to go to the bath, take somebody to the hospital last year. I mean, I've seen this shit up close, these suicide attempts that are real. They happen. And Freud even talked about it, that this thing, men have this really serious midlife crisis in their 40s in general. And, you know, and Freud says it's all this shit that I don't even know. But there is something that happens that's, you know, if you don't give yourself some meaning in your life, it can be pretty scary. On the other hand, and I don't want to sound too negative, because as you get older, your hormones start to chill out. And not even that. I mean, I don't know that my hormones have changed much. But mentally, I'm a lot more stable. I can handle stuff a lot better. You know, I don't fly off the handle at somebody on the street when they cut me off. You know, there's just more sanity in my life, I guess, in my real life. There's more tolerance, there's more sanity, and there's just, you know, it's more, you know, it's just wiser, I guess.
Well, you know, they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So, yeah, I mean, it's probably a mix of the physiology of your body. And also, when you keep, you know, if you have these really dramatic reactions to things, and God knows I've had them, you begin to see a pattern, and you begin to see that that pattern takes you nowhere.
Right.
So, and this goes back to what I was saying before about picking battles. Yeah. You know, it's like not every fight is worth fighting.
Right. Well, also, I've been reading a lot of Joseph Campbell lately. So, and he, you know, takes, you know, he criticized our society for not having really any myth. You know, we have these religions that we take literally, and that's not myth. That's just stupid shit that got out of hand. You know, we don't have these rituals like they did in these African systems and, you know, in different places where, you know, you have the ritual when you're 13, you get your dick chopped, and then you do haya, 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 and you don't see your mother for months, you know, all that shit. And all these rituals that really have to do with the human life cycle, you know, and in the beginning you have these rituals that represent growth and becoming the adult, and then later you have rituals and cycles and, you know, and stories and whatnot, all this myth to show you that you are in fact headed towards death, and that you have, and that this is an acceptable thing, and what happens, and that you go back to the earth, and it's a cycle, and all these rituals are metaphors for all of this. And when we're in a culture that doesn't have any of that, so there's very little growing up that happens. True growing up, you know, is finding your place and really feeling comfortable with death and all that stuff. And I think, you know, that's where a lot of the gay people that I see go wrong, because, you know, it really is a shallowness to just think all there is looks. Then your looks are gone, you have nothing. But, you know, if you look at yourself in the big picture and say this is the natural cycle and blah, 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 and, you know, I don't know.
Well, I think that there are rituals and myths in our culture, but I think that we discard the elderly for a number of different reasons. In the United States, we have families that are dispersed all over the country. It's not like my mom's generation where you never left the state that you were born in. And we have all of these medical technologies and pharmaceuticals that keep people alive much longer than they're intended to be alive. And people don't want to treat the elders as if they are in fact elders or wise.
Yeah.
So we get rid of them. They're nuisances, and we treat them like children. And it's unfortunate, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be that way. Of course, we have a lot of. There's tons of old people in my building. They call these types of buildings the gay 90s because you're either gay or you're 90.
They should call it Cabrini Gray.
Well, I call this one Tel Aviv Towers because there's so many old Jewish ladies here with helm in head. But, you know, these are really old people, and they live in a place where everything's taken care of, but it's not an old age home. And God, and then they sit on the second floor in the lobby all fucking day, and I take pictures of them for my Twitter.
For Twitter.
Because they're so ridiculous sometimes. Like, I know the one guy that always goes, he comes down every day with his newspapers in a bag, and he comes out on the first floor, he presses B, it goes back to the basement so he can throw out his newspapers and get back on the elevator without losing it.
People are weird.
Mm-hmm.
People are the people who go to my gym. I go to the 24-hour in West Hollywood, and it's seriously a cesspool. It is the worst place. It is where it's where broken gym equipment goes to die.
Ew.
It is so vile. There was a dirty Band-Aid by one of the cable. No, listen to this. A dirty Band-Aid by one of the cable crossover machines that was there for over a month. 3 weeks into its vacation next to the cable crossovers, I noticed another dirty Band-Aid right next to it.
What?
I swear to God. So the next time I go to the gym after I see the second Band-Aid arrive, I go to use the cable crossovers. I look down. One of the Band-Aids has been cleaned and is no longer there. But the other Band-Aid is there. So somebody who cleans, one of the janitors, actually went and saw, oh, Band-Aid, disgusting. Picked up one Band-Aid and was like, the other one, not so bad. And left it. It is the most vile place.
Why do you go there?
Because it's $600 for 3 years. And
Jesus.
Yeah, like in L.A., you're not going to find that anywhere. I mean,
I have a really nice gym with towel service and everything. And the nice thing is, it probably wouldn't work in L.A. because everybody's a fucking performer. But they have an artist discount where it's like half off. And you know, working in the field I work in counts. So,
Yeah. So the people who go to my gym, it's either WeHo clone fuck bunnies like me. Mm. Or it's really old, I mean, really old Jewish people, and they dress. Okay, you would think that West Hollywood clone fuck bunnies are going to be the ones going to the gym in like skin tight lamé and you know, and crazy sunglasses that they wear. That no, it's all the old Jewish women. There are two women who go there 5 days a week, and they wear their pantyhose over their tights.
This is Grey Gardens.
And the pantyhose go over the high heel wedges that they wear.
This is Grey Gardens, it sounds like.
It is. They're all Little Edie.
This needs to be a documentary.
It should be. I need to start bringing my iPhone with me into the gym. I used a shuffle in the gym, but I have to start taking pictures of it.
Yeah. I hate, because we have a really nice, the gym is only 2 years old, and there's a really nice jacuzzi, and I always want to go in it. Every fucking time I look, it's some fucking woman with a gross bathing suit and makeup on, and I'm sorry, it's disgusting. Why do you have makeup on in the pool? And then they stand there and wade. I just can't bear the idea of a vagina being in this water. I'm sorry, other than my own.
Right.
And then in the steam room, the other day, a guy was in the steam room reading a newspaper. In the steam room.
There are a few things at the gym that really, really drive me crazy. Yes. One of them is the people who go from equipment to equipment to equipment, or machine to machine, reading the fucking newspaper. Now, I've never seen I never go into the wet areas of my gym because that's just disgusting. But if you're at the gym and you have time to read a newspaper, you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then another thing that I hate is when people bring their phones with them and they're having full-on conversations.
Right. Well, we have strict rules about that. That doesn't really happen.
Oh, it's horrible.
But you notice also there's a lot of people that you see at the gym forever and they're always there for years. And nothing changes.
Yes, well, because a lot of them have super duper bad form, which I should not say because I've just jinxed myself. Because anytime I'm at the gym and I look at somebody with really bad form and I go, you know, I'm going to say something to them. Keep your back flush against the fucking seat. Mm-hmm. Then I do something to hurt myself. So it's this like karmic retribution. Don't judge other people. Everybody's where they need to be.
Yeah. Well, some of them. And the old men always walk around naked.
See, I will not go into the wet areas of the gym. Oh, and another
thing. I'm talking about the locker room.
I'm talking about the wet areas. That's where all the wet areas in my gym are. They're not like co-ed wet areas.
Oh, ours are co-ed, which sucks.
Oh, okay. Another thing that people do that's disgusting at my 24-hour fitness is okay, this is not like a nice golden door spa thing where after you work out, you go into a steam room that's really clean, and then you can go and shave and wash your hair. This is not one of those places.
Right.
There are only two sinks in the entire men's locker room. They're right next to the urinals. I will not go in there anymore because there are always people fucking shaving in the sinks. It's disgusting.
Ew.
It's so disgusting. Like, you can't wait until you go home to shave.
No.
You want to and again, I understand if it's a nice gym that you're going to.
Where they wipe the basin. Yeah.
Right. No, they don't do that. They don't even underneath the hand dryer, because we don't even get paper hand towels at my gym. Underneath the hand dryer, they never clean under it, so there's this like thick yellow pile of goo. It's
what?
Disgusting.
Oh, that sounds like
And they keep, instead of making improvements, they make the opposite of improvements. They take things away. So they used to have rubbing alcohol, that you know, like Purell.
Yeah.
They have one Purell station downstairs right by the front door, which is still there. But upstairs, they used to have three different ones. And these are so important because there are so many assholes who go to the gym and they're coughing and sick and, you know, it's West Hollywood, so everybody has like a million STDs. So you want those Purell stations. There should be 20 of them upstairs. There should be one attached to every machine. They went through and took all three of the Purell – the only three Purell stations out of the front are off the top floor where all the equipment is. Disgusting.
Why'd they do that?
Because they're so cheap. Rubbing
is this 24-hour fitness or LA fitness?
24-hour fitness. Rubbing alcohol to them is too high a price.
Mm.
It would be like if Rachel Kahn was running a gym.
Wow.
Horrible.
Yeah, that's one thing. I mean, like, I am broke, but I still pay for that because it's such – I like to have a nice place to go, and plus they have all these classes and shit. I've been to those fucking, yoga. I do yoga like
geometry
4 or 5 days a week.
Algebra.
But I've been to those kind of gyms like for years, like what you're describing. I just can't fucking deal with it anymore.
Look, I'm going to go on to Yelp and I'm going to read some of the reviews for my gym.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I don't want you to think that I'm exaggerating because I'm on East Radio and I'm trying to make it seem worse than it is. Like, and what I'm saying is actually nice.
Yeah.
On Yelp, I actually gave it, I think, 3 stars because it does have its redeeming qualities. Everybody else is a 1. Okay. 24-hour fitness. Okay. Not Sunset, Santa Monica. Okay, the average out of 5 stars on Yelp is 1.5.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, this is the first one.
How many
this
reviews
location,
are there in total, does it say?
Oh, by the way, this is somebody... Okay, hold on. This location is a dump. Filthy. Okay, just so you know, those are the first two sentences. This person gave the gym 2 stars. So it's actually, this person gave it higher than their average. There always seems to be a piece of equipment that's broken. The locker rooms are not very clean. The problem here is that the gym needs to be remodeled. Parking is a nightmare, so unless you live within walking distance, half the time the AC isn't working. Okay, let me get a good one.
I can't believe you work out there. I mean, you just seem like somebody. I mean, regardless of the price, you just seem like somebody who wouldn't do that. I would think you're the type of person who would go to a nice gym.
They're
anyway.
Too expensive. I cannot spend $150 on a gym. Okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's
65.
It would be really nice if someone at 24-hour fitness with any pool would see all of these reviews. I have a feeling they don't care though, because due to the location, all the locals go there and all the locals will continue to go there. This gym is pretty gross. When I go at 5 a.m., I kind of actually like it. It's not too overcrowded, but there are enough people there to keep you blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Going in the evening is a whole different story. It is dis, period, Gus, period, ting. As soon as you walk up those stairs and turn the corner, the smell, humidity, and swamp hits you like a pile of bricks.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot fucking breathe. It smells so ungodly.
Seriously?
Yes.
Is that true?
Like, It's like, it is true. It's true. Oh. And it's like the Everglades. I don't like to have the AC blasting in the gym because it's bad for your joints and I can't breathe when I'm doing cardio if it's too cold. But this is just cruel and unusual punishment. Like everyone else has said, something is always broken. The locker room sucks. The showers are gross. The hot tub area is just embarrassing.
My God.
Hold on. Let me do like two more.
Sounds like somebody needs to steer an airplane into that thing. That's horrible.
Hold on, let me just get like two.
I can't believe you work out at such a skank. I mean, there's got to be a place that isn't that disgusting.
Okay, negatives. Place smells like a high school gym where football equipment has been left unwashed and this whole place is just lockers. Sexual activity is all over the place in the lockers. I'm a pretty liberal dude, but when you see two guys eating ass in the steam room with no worry in the world, that's just gross. Equipment is not working or clean. Weights are all over the place. Parking is hard. Okay, one more. This is...
Two more.
The subject line is, believe the horror stories. This gym is every... this gym is every bit as disgusting as people say. This place is filthy. Sweat stains on the cardio equipment, smudged mirrors, peeling paint, cracked metal paint on the equipment. Ick. I wouldn't be caught dead in the men's bathrooms. Nobody adheres to the swimsuit required rule when it comes to the sauna, steam room, and jacuzzi. Of course, when they're working, toilets are usually covered in urine, use toilet paper, and are really flushed. Old men shave around the hot tub. In the showers and over the sinks.
Oh my God.
So it's not uncommon to see blood spots.
What? No way. It does not say that.
Hold on. So it's not uncommon to see blood spots on the countertops and on the floor.
Oh my God.
This place always smells like someone came in and busted some major ass all over the place. I can't believe how funky and stanky it always is. At least Febreze a place, for heaven's sakes. It's always hot as hell.
Oh, my God.
And these are some of the nicer reviews.
And this place has no problem staying in business.
Nope.
Unbelievable. That is fucked up. Fucked up.
Okay, one more. This gym is so disgusting. The only reason why I work out here is because I live three blocks away. There is gay sex everywhere. I went to the... Oh, hold on.
Well, that part's okay. What? Tell me
more. Thank God I always wear flip-flops in the locker room. I got a bunch of boils on the top of my feet from walking in the shower area to the sauna. The doctor told me it's from a staph bacteria lurking on the floors of wet locker room floors. Inside the gym, it's like gay men's hookup joint. I never saw so much ass cleavage, ass slapping, and ass grabbing. The gay men at this location have no manners or respect for a straight woman like myself. Well, fuck you, bitch. Go to Curbs.
Wait, a woman? What is she doing in the men's locker room?
Right.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
You know what? I had this funny thing happen in the steam room at my gym like a year ago. And I was in there, and there's some guy... You know, who's like, there's this trigger switch where you can, you know, force the steam, even though it hasn't hit the temperature. So he's pressing the steam, pressing it over. He's like, do you mind? I'm like, no. He goes, yeah, my doctor told me that if the steam is a certain temperature, it kills everything. And I go, what do you mean kills everything? Like what? He's like fungus. I go, oh, that would explain why my planter's wart disappeared.
Ew.
And he ran away.
Ew.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a pretty vile place. I mean, yeah. I go in, I work out, and I leave.
See, this is why it's good. This is the advantage of living in mediocre cities, because it's not super expensive to go to a decent gym.
Oh, right. You're not going to be charged a zillion dollars.
I pay $65 for a very clean place, towel service, and classes with, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, and you know, I think that there are other gyms that I could probably go to in the area, but I'm gonna play
it
out.
Sounds like it's a gay. I mean, it sounds like a bathhouse.
Well, supposedly the word is that this summer they're going to spend 2 months renovating it
to make it a bathhouse.
Oh, to
that's
give you
probably
an
what'll happen. They'll just call it 24-hour bathhouse.
So, oh, and it's not even open 24 hours. It closes at 11 o'clock at night. So they have three cable crossover machines there. Mm-hmm. And one of the cords broke on one of them.
Yeah.
Probably a month and a half ago. And all it is like a wire, like a cord with rubber over it. It's the easiest thing in the world to replace.
But they won't. It sounds like almost like maybe Hoarders needs to go there or something.
Maybe.
Do they? I bet they
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of in the first Nightmare on Elm Street whenever Nancy falls asleep and she ends up in the boiler room
of
Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean,
but
it's
see,
serious.
I picture the boiler room as being neater than this, what you're describing. Because the boiler room wasn't really that dirty. It was just a boiler room.
It was disgusting.
It had some soot, but.
No, it was disgusting. You would not want to spend any like free time in the boiler room.
Did it have like body parts?
When he would kill people in it, yeah. Okay.
Well, they probably do that too.
Oh, did you hear that the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street is about to come out?
Mm-mm. Who's making it? Is this the one that Zombie's making or something?
No, I don't think. I hope it's not Rob Zombie who's doing it. But Jackie Earle Haley is playing Freddy Krueger.
Who's that?
Did you see the movie Little Children?
No.
Did you see The Watchmen?
Yes, loved that movie.
He played the Rorschach.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's really good. But we'll see what they do with it. Normally when they remake a bad or a scary movie, it's not good.
I'm going to see that 3D thing, Alice in Wonderland, on Saturday.
You know, they just gave it really good reviews.
Good.
They said it's one of Tim Burton's best films.
Wow.
But he fucked up Charlie and the Chocolate Factory so much that I really have a hard time going back and seeing anything else that he does.
Yeah. I didn't mind it so much.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Yeah.
I thought it was stupid.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't mind it. I don't know why. Maybe I'm broken inside.
It was very Wanda Wisdom.
Hi there, ho there, hello there, white ladies.
White ladies. I just got done listening to her 5-year anniversary show twice in a row.
Oh, did you get through it? I mean, which one? The one that's dated today?
Sure.
The most recent show.
Right. All I know is I listened to it several times.
Was I in it?
Yeah. I really didn't listen to it.
Jesus Christ, I believed you. That's horrible. I don't know. I was just talking to Cheryl. I'm like, did you hear? Did they play our clips? Did Wanda play our clips? And he's like, I didn't listen to it. I go, well, do you know anybody who listens to it? Cheryl's like, no. I go, well, who do we know that's boring?
Wanda Wisdom is like the biggest drag queen in Minneapolis, which, by the way, I have a big love affair with Minneapolis right now.
Well, she's very popular. She's on the radio now and everything.
Right. I'm so happy for her.
So who
because,
needs a fucking podcast?
Like, Wanda's so nice. Wanda's probably the nicest person in podcasting, I think.
I don't know.
Well, other than Adam Curry. But it's very neck and neck between the two of them.
Right. Yeah, nice is an interesting word because it has so many different meanings. Like, so many people are superficially nice, but they're cunts.
I've just always really gotten along with Wanda.
Oh, I have too.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting that you say that because when I would listen to Eat This Hot Show when Vera was on it, I always kind of got the sense that, like, Wanda just didn't put up with any of Vera's shit. Mm-hmm. Or vice versa. I mean, there seemed to be, like, I don't think any ill will, but there seemed to be, like, a little bit of interesting tension between the two of those.
All I will say is you have no idea. And that's all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, let's not even open up that can of worms.
Well, no, I will say this, actually, because it was like that for the first several episodes, but then it became totally not like that. And I honestly can't remember what caused the break in the tension. You know, because now it's fine, even though we don't do the show. And we're truly not doing the show because of me, and I just don't have the time. But there was something that happened that broke the ice. And when that happened, everything was fine, but there was tension. I wouldn't probably even say anything.
Well, I think it's probably just, you know, coming, doing that show, you know what I mean? To have somebody new come onto it and have to, you know, you've already gone through so many people and have had so many different personalities and so much drama attached to that program that it's almost like, I know you don't watch The Real Housewives, but whenever they kick out a housewife and then a new housewife comes on the show, you kind of have to earn your stripes.
Right.
And it may have been a little bit of that. And that show is all about the opinions that you have. Mm-hmm. So I think that if there's any potential for conflict, that's a show that's really going to bring it out. Because it's really not about what's going to get the biggest laugh here. It's let's have a debate. Let's play devil's advocate. Right. Let's, you know, explore issues from a bunch of different angles. And somebody always gets the brunt of it.
But, God, who was I talking to yesterday and, you know, about Eat This Hot Show? I don't remember. But, you know, I was talking about, because so many people will say, you know, why don't you come back? When are you going to come back? Your show is so funny. Do it, ladies. You know, you have to do this. You have to. When are you going to demand? And my response is usually, why? Give me a good reason to. Because it's good? Because you like it? It doesn't earn me a dime, and I'm fucking broke.
Yeah, I think you told me that about 4 hours earlier. No, you said it to me on the phone today.
Oh, did I? Oh, my God, I'm so
sorry. Yeah. Yeah, that's when it happened. But, hey, I thought you said it when we were doing the show. No,
I probably did.
And that's a hard show. You know, that's a really I just think it's a difficult show to do. Because it's kind of what Joy Behar says about The View, that there's always going to be somebody to hate. Mm-hmm. And there's always going to be a scapegoat, and somebody's always going to get feelings hurt. And although I have to say that I never felt my feelings were never hurt working with you or Wanda throughout any of those experiences. So
I don't really think, you know, aside from the thing with Pfaff, I don't think anything that happened in the course of that show bothered me in any serious way at all.
Right. But see, the thing is that the Feast of Fools blowout was so big that it was kind of like, I think we got a reputation at me, especially, of every place I go, there's drama, 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 which is really, I mean, you know me, that's not the case at all. That experience was so explosive. It was so big that you couldn't escape its gravitational force.
Yeah. That was frustrating because, you know, in my mind, I mean, we both knew that what we were doing was the right thing because there was something really wrong going on. But when the audience and whoever else can't see that, it's very frustrating.
Right. And people like and see there's this tension between people wanting to know what happened. So we explained but people really don't want to know what happened. So I think that given the conflict that happened behind the scenes, we were absolutely in the right. I have no question about that.
Yeah.
But I do look back, like I said earlier, and
we should not
have been as forthcoming with what happened. But I think we were trying to operate from places of truth. Like, this is what happened.
It was a mess. We were young.
We were young.
Heartache to heartache.
I was only 17 then.
Yeah.
Just kissed a boy for the first time.
It is unbelievable it's been this long. I mean, it's ridiculous. 5 years.
I know. What am I going to do for my 5-year anniversary?
I don't know. The reason I actually did the show with all those guests is because Matt Burgess told me to. You know, he's like, you have to do a big show and have lots of guests and have a big blowout. I'm like, because if it was up to me, and it is, but if it was normally, I don't even do anything. I'd be like, oh, here's 1,000th show. Fuck off.
Well, 1,000, that's a really big deal.
Yeah.
You had to do something for 1,000. I mean, 1,000 is to me more significant than 5 years.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what I want to do.
I think you should have sex on the show.
Like gay sexcapades.
Yes. Oh, I still miss that show. That was so good. I loved that. See, that's like the old days of podcasting that will never return.
Right. Well, you would never hear about that show anymore.
Yeah. There's no way to.
Right. There are just so many fucking podcasts out there, which is such a shame. I mean, God, that was so unethical.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if you had hooked up with some guy from, or some woman in your case, from the internet, and then you go to listen to a podcast and you hear yourself having sex?
Yeah.
And unbeknownst to you, you were being recorded that whole time.
Wow. Well, it's kind of like the fat people I take pictures of on the bus. I mean, I wonder what they would think.
I think the sex thing is even worse. And well, and the sex thing, I think, is illegal.
Right. You're right. There's
you could take a picture of somebody, but you can't record audio of them.
I think it's about the place. And it's if it's a public place, it's okay. It's basically if it's in somebody's home, you can't record anything visual or otherwise, even if it's outside, inside, whatever. You cannot do that. And if it's in a bathroom, locker room. Other than that, yeah, you can, from what I understand. But I'm probably wrong. And I hope nobody corrects me because I don't want to know.
Don't bother Shut me with your reality.
Shut up with your emails, lawyer man. Go away.
Rock Bella Mortenstein.
Yeah, that's another mess. But we finally got her on the show to be nice. You know, we're like, oh, she finally comes back on the show after 6 months and congratulates me on 1,000 shows, and then Mrs. Miller comes on.
I love it when
and destroyed. I do too. I mean, of course.
So did Andy stop doing the show because people were mean to him?
No, I think he stopped in a serious way because he was always stopping and starting. But, you know, it wasn't because of the fat jokes. It was because, at least I think, there was a situation where, you know, I mean, you know how it's been, where he's been complaining about his life sucking forever. And everybody's like, get out of there, get out of there. People have tried to help. You know, even Rachel tried to help get him school or whatever, you know, writing applications. And, you know, the thing is, it's like you have to do something to help yourself. Well, there's this guy, Wayne, who listens to the show, and lives in North Carolina. And Wayne is, aside from being a nice person, he also bought me an iPod Touch. And he actually bought two of them by mistake because Amazon is stupid, and I gave the second one to Andy Melton. But that's not really relevant. The point is, he was driving through Tennessee, and he was going to end up about 50 miles where Andy lives. And he said, Andy, you know, I'm going to be right near you. Can I visit you or can we meet somewhere? He said, no. He said, I need a haircut. and some other lame excuse. And, I sent him. And I myself have been in that region twice, I think. And I offered to visit him. He said, no. But this was a few years ago, and I can understand that. You know, we weren't, you know, we didn't have this history. And so I wrote him an email. And I very sternly and seriously said, Andy, you have to call. I don't remember what I said, but it was some sort of a threat, basically. Like I said, you have to call Wayne back right now and tell him to come over. Because if you don't do this, I will never feel sorry for you again. Because you have to do this. You know,
it's like a hoarder intervention.
Right.
It's like
you have to do this in order to do, you know, to just start. You have to. And he wouldn't do it. And then he got really upset and tweeted that, you know, how terrible it is that people talk to him this way. And that was pretty much it, I think.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
But I may regret some of the fat stuff that got out of hand, but that particular incident, I can't say I regret.
Right.
I think he has to, it's tough. I mean, we've all been in hard situations like that, and to be in the middle of nowhere and have it, and who knows what subtext is really going on.
Right.
Who knows what kind of abuse or something's going on there. So.
Well, hopefully lots. No, I'm kidding, Andy Melton, if you're listening. I quite enjoy your contributions to East Radio, and I wish you do need a replacement for him.
I think we're at the point where X people on the show have gotten much bigger than the audience. Like, if you put all together all the people that have been on the show and now hate me, it would be bigger than the audience. Or I hate. Probably a lot bigger.
Your 1,000th episode was like, we aren't the world.
What do you mean?
It was like the opposite of We Are the World.
Oh, the song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We aren't the world. We ate the children.
Yeah. But it's really been great having Cheryl, though, I have to say.
Well, yeah, I really, really, really like the banter between the two of you.
Yeah. And I like that it's turned into a scheduled thing.
Yes.
Because I'm the same way as you describe it. I have to have, like, this is why I did the show today, because I missed my yoga class today on Monday night, which is, I can't miss it. I never miss it. It's great. And it's fucking crowded as hell, and you're wall-to-wall with these fucking vaginas. But I have to go to it every Monday at 7:30. And I didn't make it because I had, you know, I was watching a coworker's dog, and I waited, and I didn't, yeah, I freaked. I came home, and I've never gone through, it was worse than any withdrawal from a drug after that amount. I mean, I was, like, shaking. So I call, I'm like, oh my God, I don't know why I turn on Facebook and I see Rachel. I'm like, well, let me call her and see if she wants to do a show. And that's how I ended up doing it. Because that's how badly I need the structure.
And I'm sure that she, like, the minute you asked her, she was probably in the middle of rehearsing the most dramatic scene. And the thing was like, I'm sorry, I'll take just like 2 hours, 3 hours. I just need a little break.
No, she said, she actually said, I'll call you back in a half hour. I said, okay. She called me back in an hour and she profusely apologized for taking an hour. I didn't even notice.
Okay, I've got to go. Yeah. I'm so tired.
Well, this has been fun. It's been a completely ridiculously long show, so that's good.
I know, good.
So.
Good.
All right.
Okay, I'll talk to you later, man.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.